Oh, I pushed it. It's going. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. To the Cubicorn Games tired cast.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can hear the travel in
your
voice.
Everybody's real sleepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
There might be some...
Kyle's down.
Kyle's head at the table. He's down for the count.
Kyle down.
Yeah, we'll see how I end up putting this all together. There might be some weird time warp stuff. Like, I think Lorraine and I are going to talk about our GDC experience at some point separately, and that'll either be before or after this, so...
We can even do a separate... We can have a few small episodes this week or something.
Yeah, we can put other shit out. Maybe we'll do that, too. You'll know when you see it.
I've gotten good feedback about how long these are.
Like, good feedback?
Quality feedback or positive feedback?
Right.
Honestly,
useful
positive.
Feedback.
It's like, your podcasts are too long. Shut up. Kay. Don't really care.
Damn.
I like to think that there's enough, like, there's leftovers.
Yeah, right.
Like, you listen for a little bit, you pause it. Come back tomorrow.
That's what I actually do.
Like, I never consider it, because I totally listen to, like, 3.5-hour podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Usually not in one sitting, though. Mm-hmm. I will do exactly that. I'll, like, play a little of it, like, while I'm at work or whatever. And then, like, put on pause and come back later. But anyway, this one won't be that long.
I listened to a lot of podcasts while we were flying between New York.
That's a good place to listen to podcasts. Being trapped in a tiny chair in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Southwest Airlines.
I heard someone, while
I'm
we were
sorry,
flying, reference it as the Greyhound
like
in the sky.
That's what it is.
It's
like, I'm okay with Southwest.
It's not as bad as Ryanair or Vueling.
Neither of those sound real.
Was that an airline you took, like, while in Europe to get somewhere else?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Vueling, the seats are so close together that I could not sit in the seat without my knees being, like, jammed up.
I could believe that. How close are you? Because you're, like, 6'4"-ish?
Not that tall.
Like, 6'3".
Okay, close enough. But I mean, like, how tall is that, do you know, relative to, like, the average German? Like, are you outclassing them size-wise?
Yeah, but I'm taller than most people.
Sure.
So.
Okay. plane's not built for you.
Yeah.
Man of your stature.
Yeah.
Awesome. I saw that giant Singapore plane. I want to get on that.
It was like an A380.
It was rad. I was excited when it, like, went by the window.
At Frankfurt Airport, they have special, like, areas just for the A380s that have, like, double things that come out.
Yep, yeah, it was definitely the largest plane I had ever seen in person. I was like, that's a big aircraft.
I wanted to go on it.
But you didn't want to go to Singapore. That's what I asked you. I said, we could throw all this...
You could throw
this life away and start over. You just have to say the word.
You should go to Singapore.
I'd like to go someday. Shit. I'd like to go everywhere someday.
That's
like,
about how I feel.
Except maybe not, like, the raw parts of the Middle East. That might be where I draw the line because I'm kind of a pussy.
Yeah. You can at least go to those places last.
Right.
I have a weird desire to go to Sana'a, Yemen. That's a good place to get killed right now.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Anything south of Italy is kind of forget it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Italy. I'd go to Italy. That sounds all right.
It's good. Mm-hmm.
It's a good time. Natalie liked it.
I want to go to Italy and not go to Venice.
Yeah, I was going to go to Rome if I went back to Europe.
Why do you not want to go to Venice? Oh, that's right, because it's where you... Is that the only place you went?
I spent way too much time in Venice.
Mm-hmm. When we were talking about, Lorraine and I have had on and off conversations about how weird, like Rome and Vatican City and all that stuff is. Like, when it comes down to the Pope being the, like, the legal, like, technically legislative ruler of that, like, that tiny chunk of land, like... I want to know how much of the Pope's time is spent writing law. Like, act not like Christian. There you go. Phil put up a good ace. Good ace.
Well, I'm tired. My mouth won't obey me. When I was in Europe, I went to Andorra, which is a principality where the princes are the president of France and the bishop of, like... The Catalan diocese of the Catholic Church.
Awesome.
That it sounds like a weird place.
Good stuff. Those are the places I want to go to.
I think it's the only country on earth that has an elected ruler that is not elected by the people of the country.
That's awesome.
That's great.
I want to get like the smuggest stamps on my passport. Oh, you've probably never heard of it. It's fine. It's a real place, I promise.
I turn
my nose up. At the
my Steam location is Andorra La Vella.
I think I've seen that, yeah. Actually.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Excellent.
I failed to do it before, but Doug the Spry is here. Lorraine Perillo is here. Phil and Kyle McGrath are in effects. I thought that was going to be a yawn. You surprised me.
Whoa, I'm surprised.
Too tired for that. I'm just going to croak.
You did it.
Yep.
Anyway,
yeah, this will definitely be shorter than usual. We're not doing like full news or new releases or any of that stuff. We're just rapping for a little bit.
What were we talking about that led to this?
Doug was in the middle of describing Codename Steam.
Yes.
So if you got any other thoughts on that, I'd still want to hear the details about how that game plays.
Okay.
This is the demo, by the way.
Yeah, this is the demo. It could be different, but the main problem I have is the resource system, and the resource system I doubt is going to change.
Yeah, I bet there are bug fixes, if anything, that are different from the demo, since that game's out in like a week or something.
Yeah. But to compare it to Valkyria Chronicles,
it's not the same developer.
It's Sega.
No, Intelligent System. It's made by Kyle said. It's by Intelligent Systems, who are the Fire Emblem guys.
Okay, yeah.
Mark
and some other stuff. Yeah, the makers of Mark Amiibo. Ask for my name.
Metal Combat, please.
So to sort of quickly compare the resource systems between the two games. In Valkyria Chronicles, you have a set number of unit activations per turn. You can activate a unit multiple times in one turn. Every time you activate a unit, it has a set amount of space, like distance it can move,
right,
and then
yeah,
it can shoot one time.
And it's shorter every time you do it. Yeah,
and if you chain activate it, it gets shorter.
You get it. Yep.
The way that a turn works in Codename Steam is each unit has one activation, and each unit has a set amount of steam.
Okay.
Good.
The map is divided into a grid, and every time you move into a new space on the grid, it consumes one steam.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then every time you shoot, it consumes an amount of steam based on your weapon.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it is, movement at least is more arbitrary than Valkyria Chronicles, because that's just literally like a distance thing.
And a nice thing about the resource system is if you move, like, move to one space on the grid and then move back to a space you've already been on.
Oh, okay.
Like, along the same path,
right,
it will refund you the steam.
That's good. All right.
That was an issue I had playing Valkyria Chronicles at the start. Just when you start moving,
and then
I didn't want to go there.
Sure, you would double back and then lost a bunch of your movement.
Yeah.
Especially coming from Fire Emblem, where you could just spend all day just kind of exploring.
Yeah, taking the cursor and charting out every single possible, like, here's my 15 different options,
right,
and then I pick the one I want.
Yeah, that's a very intelligent system.
The only case where that's not true is if you trigger, like, an Overwatch shooting thing from a unit, then you're stuck at that space.
There were traps in various Fire Emblems where that would happen. Or if you trigger a trap, you're stuck to that point.
Yeah.
That shit was fucked up, too.
Yeah.
you want a point where you're going to restart a map. It's going to be something like that.
But eventually you played enough time where you just know the traps, where they all are.
The issues with the resource system in Codename Steam... Well, part of it is the shooting system. In Valkyria Chronicles, your weapons had, like, a certain amount of accuracy.
Right, right.
So you could fire and do damage from any distance, but the farther away you are, the less likely you are to hit. In Codename Steam, you shoot directly at the crosshair.
Okay.
But weapons have a maximum range, and beyond that range, they do nothing.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, yeah, I liked Valkyria, where it was basically, like, a kind of a scale die roll based on how close you were to the person.
So it's like a ray scan thing, and it scatters and whatever.
Right. And even like the scouts and stuff. If you would get like multiple shots and you would get 5 of 5 at like 80% or whatever,
right,
and like most of those would hit, but maybe a couple wouldn't because it kind of rolled the dice after every gunshot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. So it's literally just if they're within the cursor and they're within your range, then you shoot them.
You shoot exactly where.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are there different places, like in Valkyria, where you could, like, target ahead and deal more damage, but maybe have less accuracy? Or is it just anywhere on, like, an enemy character?
They have weak spots. The weak spots on most of the enemies in the demo are, like, their butt.
Okay. Sure. Do their butts glow?
Their butts glow purple.
That's what... this is a Japanese game, so the weak spot glows.
No.
Oh, if only.
Gears.
Steam pipe.
Yeah.
No, they're like weird alien things.
Oh, right. They're fighting the aliens.
Um,
Abraham Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
But so, say you can, if you don't move at all, you can get, let's say, 3 shots.
Mm-hmm.
But you almost always have to move into position.
Right.
Because the enemies won't just, like, randomly patrol or whatever. They're usually sitting in a place until either you shoot them or they see you.
Okay.
And that means, like, if when you go through a choke point, a lot of the times you'll trigger overwatches and there's no way to avoid it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you can see them, they can, like, to get a clear shot,
so you at least, you basically just need to know, like, if I'm going to make this unit walk there, they have to be able to take this hit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And the weak spots aren't strong enough.
Because,
like, if it takes 3 shots to kill an enemy normally, you're not going to one-shot them if you shoot them in the weak spot. It'll still take 2 shots. It'll still consume most of a turn.
It doesn't actually give you that much of a benefit to shoot them in the weak spots. Okay.
And in Valkyria Chronicles, anytime a unit saw another unit, they'd automatically trigger Overwatch shooting.
Yeah.
In this, you have to... It still consumes steam to Overwatch shoot,
mm-hmm.
so you have to leave a unit with enough steam to like
be
shoot
able
once,
to shoot, yeah.
And then they'll only shoot the number of times that they have resources for,
okay.
Which just kind of, it feels clumsy.
Sure.
Because it's like, it's incentivizing you to do less than right. you could.
Right, just like yeah. kind of keep resources basically over. Like shots stocked for when they're doing
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so it's like rewarding you for playing passively.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where Valkyria Chronicles was a lot about like
go,
playing
go,
aggressively
go.
And
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
flanking and like finding optimal routes through maps mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yeah, so you're saying this game needs like ultras. It needs a revenge meter.
It just needs more flexibility.
Sure, yeah. No, that's funny. That's interesting. Huh.
And then, I don't know, the like last thing I'm going to talk about is, at least in the demo, there are like floating computer terminals.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to a computer terminal, it fills up your Steam.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can like chain turns that way, yeah. but they're consumable.
Oh, okay.
And given when you have multiple guys, it's not like, okay, well, I'm going to chain forward and, like,
sure.
make a lot of progress. It's like, okay, now one of my guys is way separated from the other.
You're right. And then mm-hmm. everybody else is, like, 2 turns behind or whatever.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. Huh.
But, I don't know. I'll still probably get it because I just love Valkyria Chronicles.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. After hearing you describe it, I'm like, well, okay, like that doesn't all sound like upgrades or anything, but how many games are like Valkyria Chronicles? And just for the record, we've talked about it a little before, and last time I think was the time that Kyle mentioned it, but if you haven't played Valkyria Chronicles, go buy it. It's on Steam, it's like $20. It'll probably run on almost anything. Go play that game, it's so good. It's so good relative to like how few people have played it. It's,
right. Yeah.
It is criminal how good that game is versus, like, how many people have actually experienced
it. I bought a PS3 when there are basically no games for it just to play that game, and it was worth every dollar.
Yeah, and I kind of, like I kind of accidentally stumbled into that game when I first discovered it. Like,
yeah.
I was just looking for shit to play on the PS3, and I was like, oh, this looks kind of neat, like, anime, like, Japanese Europe thing. I didn't even know, like, I knew it was a strategy game, but I didn't know, like, the details of it,
yeah.
really. And I was fucking blown away. Like, I was
and
so
the art style
good.
Is really nice, yeah. and the, like, watercolor cell shading stuff mm-hmm. is really cool.
Yep.
Vice
but,
and... Yeah, and Vice and Aika.
That's right. Ah.
Yeah, right?
So good.
Two favorite games.
But yeah, I'm right there with you. I will probably pick that up and... Hopefully like it well enough to finish it. Like, if I can find time to play it at all,
warning,
I want to play it.
A warning for those among us that have played Valkyria Chronicles is that, unlike in Valkyria Chronicles where you press the shoot button and it goes into, like...
Aiming. Yeah.
In this, you just aim in the normal camera, and when
and
you
then,
hit the shoot button, you shoot.
Okay, yeah, that's...
So, wow. like, I
mean,
fucked up a couple
right.
turns.
So that's the thing that you'll, like, screw up once or twice, and then hopefully remember after that. But, yeah, that's a, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
My first shot. Oops.
Well, that guy's dead. Yeah.
Do you know if that's permadeath?
I don't know.
I think there is with the amiibos, because you can use the Fire Emblem ones.
I heard those
there.
Are different.
Yeah.
I think that's the part where it is different, like, where those characters can die per map, but you just slap the thing on
well,
there.
No, yeah, but I don't.
They're not even like characters or teammates. They just kind of like are guest characters every time you scan your amiibo
so they
at
might,
one level.
Do you know if they're like not player controllable? Like, are
I think
they?
You control
I think they
one
are.
Map
yeah.
Okay.
And if you don't have a new 3DS,
right,
the,
you can't
the controls are going to be awkward.
Oh, because without the other stick too. Yeah.
Because without the other stick, you either have to aim using the bottom touch screen and like a virtual stick, which
what?
Is weird, or use.
Like Metroid Prime Hunters.
Or use the face buttons as like a D-pad, and that just feels
sure.
strange.
It's never awesome.
Yeah.
When we were at
IndieCade,
they had Moon, or the second one, Moon game. I forget what its actual title is, but there, I believe there are two Moon games for the 3DS that are like first-person shooters, and it was set up that way with both, like, they had new 3DSs there, so you could use the nub, but also it maps to, like, the other face buttons, and it's always weird. Like, it's super strange.
I honestly didn't like the nub that much.
I think the nub kind of sucks, like, for having played a new 3DS. Like, it's the most unsatisfying. Like, when you talk about, like, feedback in terms of, like, you pushing
nothing
a thing ever. And then, like,
it's
trying to see what happens. Like, it barely feels like it moves at all.
It does. No, I think
it's
it
just,
does.
It's just piezoelectric bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so, I mean, like, it's actually responsive enough, like, relative to, like, you nudge it and it doesn't move.
Yeah.
But, like, well, how it feels
it
to your finger
like
is, like,
right.
you
it's
push
awful.
It and it feels like nothing is happening and then the camera moves.
It doesn't move. It's just, like, a torque sensor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
it's just, like...
So
it's getting feedback.
It is totally functional, but like completely unsatisfying.
Yeah,
I bet you get used to it.
Yeah, probably. And I've only played on the new 3DS for like 3 minutes, so
right.
I did not give myself time to actually get used to it. Mm-hmm. But it's no like if you played with like a Vita or something, or even like the PSP where it had like the slide pad.
Yeah.
It's not tactile in any
or
way,
like
either of those. It just feels like crap under your finger. Yeah, even, like, the actual, yeah, like, if you use a ThinkPad laptop, that thing does have, like, give. Like, it leans when you push it.
Yeah.
Like Doug said, this thing literally just basically stays in place, but the motion you're doing, like, is represented, like, in-game.
It responds to, like, the force that you're pushing it with rather than you at physically moving it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
There's no mechanical parts in that, no.
So, it's better than not having one, but still kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'm sure you get used to it.
Yeah.
Do you know if, Codename Steam works with, like, the Circle Pad Pro accessories that they sold?
Theoretically.
Okay,
like,
yeah, I don't know if anyone who bought one.
I know, in Monster Hunter, it just sees the nub as a, like, control pad.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought most of the games that used that were compatible with the Circle Pad Pro.
Also, just
their base, like, it was the same
interchangeable.
Kind of, like...
I could believe that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure positive that's true, but that sounds close.
It's probably just like a permanent peripheral, so just always sees it as that.
It'd be easy
probably
enough.
Like added that to like the board. Right.
What, if you put the circle pad and then use the nub?
I don't think it fits.
It probably doesn't fit.
Considering how like they moved basically everything on the periphery of the system, I bet they moved a little IR blaster too, so it's not even the same position, because that's how the Circle Pad Pro works.
Right.
It just, like, rests on the IR and then, like, fires directly into it to press its inputs. So...
I don't like where they have the game slot now.
What freaks you out? It's, like, underneath, like, where
it's
your hand is.
It's on the bottom. It's, like,
But it's, now it's a little bit recessed.
Yeah,
so, like,
you
when it's in
it.
Your pocket, it doesn't, like,
you're not rubbing up and injecting the cartridges and shit. Yeah. It's definitely, that part of it is definitely
that
there.
Happened to me.
That happened to me
it's
all the time.
Once or twice. Like, not frequently, but I've had that happen.
It would usually didn't happen in my pocket. It would be, like, if I threw it in my backpack.
Yeah, just get shuttled on just enough. Same thing. Yeah, actually, like you said, I don't remember if it ever happened in my pocket, but definitely if it was just like, if I put it in a bag and it was just a, like slightly loose, then yeah, that could totally happen. It definitely did from time to time. Yeah, new 3DS is cool.
Still waiting on the 4DS.
I like mine.
Yes.
That's right.
Sure, yeah. The Majora's Mask one is like so shiny.
Yeah.
Like it is not remotely matte. Like it is.
I don't want to talk about
slick
it.
I've seen
the regular one is too.
Is it?
Yeah.
So even the flat like black and red ones.
Yeah, I would have brought it so you could compare it, but
I didn't know you had one though.
Yeah, I got it like last Friday.
Okay.
I have seen one in a Meijer Target or wherever that
I've
was.
I've seen a few. Sure.
Yeah, I mean they were scarce for a couple days.
I do like.
Thanks, Nintendo.
I do like the buttons on the new 3DS.
The buttons are nice.
They're ever so slightly larger, like just enough so that it's like the opposite of the stick. Like, as opposed to just being, like, super annoying, they're, like, just ever so minutely more, like, you feel like you're really hitting them because there's just a little more to them.
And I like the start and select buttons being back where they were on
the. Yeah, and they're not the dog shit like the original 3DS or whatever, where they're like the recessed, like, strip with like tiny buttons under it or whatever.
That was the worst thing about
this. The XLs were a little better.
They were a little better.
It was a little bit better, but especially if you had to hit select, like, it was always awkward.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're right about that too. It's way, way better than the old one. So yeah, they did do upgrades. I haven't had a need to use the other set of triggers, but I'm sure those are probably useful too. Like Monster Hunter, I think. And
I don't think Monster Hunter even
uses
them.
Does it not even use them?
No.
I don't know. I'm sure
Xenoblade will probably use it when it comes out.
Mirror the Z button.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could use them in Smash Brothers. Or like to do two things on a single finger.
That's a good question.
That's the first thing that fucked me up when we first played the 3DS version was that, like, I didn't even realize that it would fuck me up, and I was like, I can't actually shield and, like, grab with my right index finger or whatever. I wonder, I should try that. I haven't even thought about that yet. But
I know there's an update to give it Amiibo support. Maybe it also updated it to give it controller support.
And then you can see stick.
Right. We'll report back. I'm going to test that out at some point. Interesting. But yeah, that sounds all right. Like you said, there's so few games that are even close to, like, being that kind of strategy game that I'll probably have to pick it up. And hopefully it'll be, like, at least okay.
I don't know. I'm going to feel kind of bad buying it because I'm on, like, the second Temple of Majora's Mask and haven't played it in a week.
Sure.
And I'm, like, 2 hours into Monster Hunter and haven't played it in a few days. This is
I'm like that, but even less so. Like, I have Majora's Mask, and I got the special edition that I fucking had to pre-order with the guide because the world's terrible. I took Skullkid out of the box and set him on my, like, thing or whatever, like, next to consoles, and just, like, chucked the game on top of a pile of things that I haven't booted up yet. So that's where my Majora's Mask experience is.
I got the collector's edition and then didn't open it, then I had to go buy another one. So I couldn't bring myself to open the toy.
Oh, God.
I know. And I just, every couple days, just check it on eBay, see what it's worth.
Right.
How are your Wind Wakers appreciated?
Yeah, right. Not well.
You missed the peak.
Don't believe they depreciate.
They've held it about $100 for about a year.
How much more were they?
They were 60.
They were like regular price, basically.
Oh, it was really?
Increase.
Yeah. No, I think it was technically $10 right more. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure that game launched at 50.
The Majora's ones, the day they came out, they went up to like 150, and I should have sold it then, and they're down to 100 now.
That's a bummer.
Schnabble.
Schnabble. Nintendo stuff. Yep.
Well, really cool. The house is getting to you.
I don't plan on keeping them, at least.
Oh.
Do you hear voices?
It's just like,
right. My long lost spiritual ancestors are crying to me.
Perfect condition.
Box.
Yep.
Shut up.
We're the first nerds in our family line, actually.
Depending on how you define it.
Yeah, define
nerds.
Come
from a family of hoarders of crap.
Hoarders of crap slash athletes.
You're just kind of preaching to the choir. Right.
Yeah, we know.
Same here, too.
We know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's very interesting. I bet there would have to be like more hoarders in the Midwest or like than like on the coast
any other
or whatever.
Region for sure.
You can't, like, if you're in like a studio apartment in New York City, you don't really get the choice to be a hoarder.
A lot of regions don't have basements to hoard things.
Yeah. I'm saying that's the other thing. Yeah, that's the other thing about like California. They barely ever have basements because why would you?
They have better things to do with their time too.
When the earthquakes come.
Am I the only person here that doesn't come from a hoarder family?
I
come from a family of people who like serially own things. Like, okay, I'm gonna buy a car and drive it for 2 years and then sell it and buy another one.
No, never.
That's how my mom's
whole thing works too.
Nope.
But. Yeah, I can't ever imagine that. But that's more due to poverty than the idea of leasing a car like is fucking insane.
Well, no, I'm talking about buying like classic cars and like fixing.
Oh,
them
up okay, so that's oh, actually that's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I like that a lot. So that you're kind of like constantly cycling. Like you get a new project and then you like drive it for a little bit. That's rad. I would love to do that.
That's what my parents.
That sounds fucking cool.
Yeah.
Don't know what like if you're doing that with new cars, then you're like you're just a monster as far as I'm concerned. But, like, no, that's super cool. I would be totally into that. That sounds awesome.
I think the only car my grandpa has kept more than, like, 2 years is the Model A that his grandfather owned.
Cool. That's pretty rad. Yeah.
You might as well keep it at this point.
That's
cherished family heirloom.
Where are you in line to inherit that? Who do you have to kill?
I won't get it.
Okay.
My mom, despite being their oldest child, is a girl, so she's not going to get it. So I'll never get it.
I feel I'm way down in the line of everybody, like... We're, like, right in the middle, but there's still, like, I have, like, 50 billion cousins, so, like, there's, like, 30 people in front of me to get all the cool shit. The only thing I would have really loved to have, like, one of my grandpa's World War II rifles. There's, like, two or three of them, and we're totally fucked out of that, so.
Because my dad is one of two boys out of seven children that him...
Men get the guns.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure we got something.
That's right.
I think we've got his Korean War uniform.
That sounds cool.
Maybe, like, like, his little, like, bayonet or sword or something that went with that. Probably some kind of rifle somewhere.
We'll probably get our grandfather's Beanie Babies.
not even Cherish, the Toby mugs. No. The Beanie Babies.
I got my...
And whatever we want from the basement.
Like 2 years ago, for basically no reason, my dad gave me his dad's toolbox.
Huh. Cool.
So I have a, like 50-year-old Craftsman toolbox.
That's cool. We do actually have some stuff like that where it's just like, it's like a... like an old school like sander or something that's literally from the 40s. Like we have a handful of things like that that are all kind of like in even more disrepair than they would be because my dad doesn't really take care of shit.
Yeah.
Hence the hoarding. So, but it's still neat when you find something like
at least
that.
I would imagine us that are from hoarding families, you've seen what it does to.
Yeah, like,
no one in this room cares one lick about anything.
I could throw things out.
Yeah, no, definitely. It puts it in stark contrast. You're like, I'm not going to let this happen to me.
Don't need it.
We might need that in the next depression, Kyle.
The guy who's talking has seven copies of DBZ Season 9.
That was a separate incident, and I will be selling those soon.
Right. You've said that the past, like, 3 years.
If nothing else, if you don't, for some reason, end up selling those, I want you to, like, take them to a Salvation Army or a Goodwill, and then just check in briefly and see how long they're still there for. I bet what actually would happen is that like somebody would come in like thinking that they could resell them at their shitty flea market or something and buy them all for like a dollar each or whatever.
I know enough places that to sell them off if I
got
just
desperate.
Feel it going.
Yeah, like I said, send them back to Amazon. They'll probably give you like $2 each for them or something. Don't
like
that.
They didn't have a price for it up yet.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, Amazon. It's fun browsing like the DVDs in their buyback thing because it's always like a quarter, like 10 cents. Because, like, Black Friday sales have made all film worthless forever.
Mm-hmm. Also the internet.
Yeah.
I was on a local, like, retro game Facebook group, and somebody posted up a copy of Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
Or not Valkyria Chronicles, Skies of Arcadia for Dreamcast for, like, $70, and it got sold in, like, 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. What's it worth?
About that.
Okay.
Was it sealed or open?
It was open.
Okay. I didn't know it was that high open. Like, sealed, I would think it would be about that or more.
And I was like, I have a copy of
that. I want it.
Yeah,
my,
I'm still
my
bummed
case
out.
Is fucked up, though.
Yeah, I'm bummed out. I lost my copy of MVC2 on Dreamcast.
Huh.
I have no idea what happened to it, but it's just, like, one of the days when I was, like, cataloging stuff, trying to get everything, like, back together and sorted, like, I have never been able to find it, so it just, like, vanished into the ether somehow.
Is that the one that's really rare?
It's rare-ish, like, it's not common, that's for sure.
If I had a Dreamcast, that's the one game I would want to play. It was a later game on the system, and they didn't make a lot of it.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Phantasy Star Online is the one.
Well, I have that for GameCube.
I do, too.
Split screen.
Put a lot of hours into that game.
You
did.
I was introduced to that game on GameCube by one of my cousins, and I didn't really know what it was. He had played it a lot, and he'd actually played it online, like, when that was still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of, like, he lost it or something, and we just didn't play it for years. And it was maybe, like, I think it was 2010, the summer before Dustin and I met. We both found it for, like, maybe $20 on eBay, and we were playing it, like, all summer, and then we were, like, playing together, because he was still living at my grandpa's house, like, mm-hmm. around the block from us. It was great. It was so much fun.
I'm pretty sure my introduction to that game was playing it at Gabe's birthday party.
Which game? I missed it.
Fantasy Star.
Oh, yeah.
And me and Gabe both died, like, 30 seconds into a boss fight,
mm-hmm.
and Gary soloed it for, like, 4 hours, and we weren't even in the same room. We went upstairs and, like, ate and watched TV and went outside and came back down, and he was still fighting it.
Well, when we were first introduced to it, my cousin was already, like, super high level. We were, like, mm-hmm. it was me and my older sister and... two of my other younger cousins were playing it kind of all at the same time. Like, he ended up leaving his GameCube up there when he went back to Indiana. So we were playing it together, but when he was there, he was, like, a trillion levels ahead of us, and we would literally die instantly, like, the second anything attacked us.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And then he never had any revives, so we were all just basically dead.
Phantasy Star Online was the way to pirate games on a Dreamcast.
I remember that.
On a GameCube, rather.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yep.
Because
yeah.
If you, like, streamed code to it, it would just
yes.
accept it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good. So yep. kind of, sort of like Brawl on the Wii, where
yeah.
you just kind
yeah.
of run whatever's in that directory right. or whatever.
Was yeah. it because
awesome.
Of the online stuff, or is that just, like, a
yeah.
backdoor
so, like,
that's just there?
You would download software that would emulate the Fantasy
right.
Star servers.
And then just push other data.
Yeah, and then, like, update your DNS so it would just, like, go to it, and then it would just give it, like,
yep.
whatever game.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a cool, they patched it now, but right before the new 3DS came out a couple weeks
yeah,
back,
I heard about this.
There was a really cool vulnerability in the 3DS web browser
I
where you could push
just heard
like
about
Game Boy
this.
Emulators, like you could push Game Boy cartridge data into it
yeah.
and it would just run.
That's
I also,
awesome.
What I heard about that was you could push, like, you could get Pokemon into, like, XY
yeah.
and Horus.
Yeah.
yeah sure
but it's patched now.
Right.
Yeah, of
you
course it is.
If you buy a
yeah.
red
I haven't.
New 3DS, you
okay.
can do that.
Yeah.
The black ones are a firmware version.
That's fun.
That's
I was saying that's awesome. It's probably because the game from different factories or different
right,
production runs.
Yeah.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then
that
just whatever,
really
whichever one wasn't updated to, like, the most recent firmware the,
yeah.
by the time they came off the line.
I bought a red one, and I, like, bitched to my friend that had a black one that I had to do a day one firmware update, and he was like, you know that was, like, gateway vulnerable.
Oh.
I heard it had something to do with the QR reader and the internet browser.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't care. That's just awesome. I love stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
Unfortunately, I heard about it after.
Right.
I already,
yeah.
It just said there's an update. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Like,
I will update
Nintendo
now.
Tricked you. There's an update. But more Mii closets.
So well, and then I was like, but I still have my old 3DS, so I'll just use that. But then to transfer all your licenses
yeah.
and shit, you
I
have
know.
To update it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have to do that even, actually. Yep. Like, when I booted up the new 3DS to test it out, I haven't done any of the, like, I haven't transferred all my content over.
Yeah, it'll wipe all your shit when you do it, so
mm-hmm.
don't
yeah.
get too attached.
Yeah, yeah, well, the only thing I did on the new one was, like, I played Pokemon, like, just because
okay.
the save was on the cartridge, and there
yeah.
was, like, no harm, no foul. But,
mm-hmm.
So I haven't done anything else on that new system.
I updated Monster Hunter, I don't even know how many goddamn times, because my transfer kept failing.
Yeah.
Does still have, like, an adorable animation for, like,
the Pikmin.
Yeah,
Pikmin carrying your data
so
to
cute.
The new system.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you cut out most of the update or the transfer process. If you get to a certain step, then you can just turn it off and just copy your SD card.
Huh. Well, maybe they updated the transfer process, but that is an option now.
Yeah, you can basically
they,
just...
like, warn you, like, you cannot take the SD card from one
right.
system and put it in the other because this one uses a micro SD card.
Right, that's
oh,
right.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
The thing I can totally do that though because the SD card that's in my 3DS now is a micro SD card
yeah.
and like
in
one of the little adapter
oh, right.
things.
Yeah. So yeah, then all you need to transfer is
like
your Nintendo ID
yeah.
profile. Yeah.
That's so dumb.
Nintendo.
I know. I can
you
run two. PlayStation Network IDs on the same Vita. I just have to, like, log them out and switch the memory card.
Yeah.
get your Japanese account on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a Japanese account. It's a, my it's a PSN account to play Phantasy Star Online 2.
But was that, did we not make that a Japanese PSN account?
You don't have
account?
To.
It doesn't have to be Japanese?
No, not because okay. I have a physical
We did have
copy.
To make you... Okay. I remember...
I made a Japanese Sega ID.
Yeah.
Because that's why I have the second PlayStation account, because the Sega ID is linked to the PSN account, and you can't unlink them.
Yeah.
So I'm still like... I was still hoping at that point 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was
I do
like,
remember,
oh, maybe
have
it'll
to,
still come out.
It's right.
14 works the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because we did have to make you, like, that Japanese Sega whatever
Sega
account.
ID,
yeah, Sega ID.
That was a
which involved, I say which involved, like...
Security
yeah,
questions
exactly,
that I could not
proxying
answer.
Proxying through, like, some weird server in Tokyo where it took, like, 28 seconds to load each webpage. And then eventually we filled it out and, like, made you a profile or whatever.
The weirdest thing was trying to get my birth date in there. Because it was, like, formatted really well.
The funnier part was when I asked for, like, address data, I just picked, like, in some office. I think I actually picked, like, a Sega location. This is where I live, Sega. Come back. Give me the thing.
Don't ever forget your password.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You don't even have to really log in.
You have to, like, sync it once with your PSN account, and then it just kind of works.
Kyle, do you remember for Final Fantasy XI how they would randomly generate you a username, and if you lost the username, you basically couldn't get it back?
That's I don't worst. Remember that, but I believe you.
I think I'm the only person in the world, maybe, that still remembers
that was
UBBS 1492.
That 3 months of my life was a dark period.
Aww.
Awesome.
Buried in your subconscious now.
Sitting there in a corner, waiting for
players. Yeah, my friend Jacob likes PSO2 a lot.
It's good. Even because I played it on the Vita, like, exclusively, not even on the PC, and it's just... It was so good. But I played it for, like, a month solid.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, it wouldn't have even been even... Like, I know you love your Vita, but it would have been even easier to play the PC version.
Yeah. Because
there's basically, like, full English translation.
I got used to it, though. I knew kind of what I... I have no idea what was happening in the store. People would just come and talk at me. I'm like, sure!
Let's do it.
Yep.
Lots of Japanese talking heads in the boxes.
Yep.
If you just learn kata, menu in Japanese games usually isn't that hard.
Mm. I knew where things were because of tutorials.
Yeah.
I remembered.
Trial and error.
Yep.
Enough trial and error that you figured out.
Most of the items had, like, an icon next to them, so you can kind of tell what they are. Mm-hmm. And
oh, speaking of, honestly, maybe next week when we do other... playing games,
Are we going to announce that
we
today?
We might as well.
Yeah, we will. You want to talk about it now?
Well, what else? What were you
okay, the other thing I was going to say is we should play Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Yes! Oh my god,
that's
yes!
That's the thing that I finally got for play, like a month ago. It's awesome. Do you know what Puyo Puyo is?
Nope.
Do you know what Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine
yes.
is?
Yes.
It's that.
It's that.
Okay.
But it's a game with that.
Yeah, we have that.
And Tetris at the same time.
What?
And you can play them, like, against each other. Like, you can play Puyo Puyo versus Tetris. Where somebody's playing Puyo Puyo and the other person is playing Tetris.
That's pretty
or they
play them at the same time on the same board.
Yeah, where, like, it'll literally drop the weird, like, beans and shit and also Tetris
and
blocks.
Tetraminos.
And yes.
Or right. you can switch between them on a timer. You'll have two boards running simultaneously.
You basically have two game boards at once, and then they just, like, swap every, like, minute, like, round robin style. So,
it's
like,
amazing.
It's just, you're playing Tetris,
and
then, like,
happens
you're halfway through dropping an important block, and then, like, fuck you, you're playing Puyo Puyo now.
It's great. It's so much fun.
It's awesome.
Sounds terrible.
It's really good.
I'll play it.
So nice.
Yeah, bring it next week, and we'll play it.
Yeah, we're going to play it. You need a PS4, but all
luckily
all the PS4 stuff is region-free.
Cool.
So,
yeah,
and
yeah.
between us, like, I think I have 3 or 4 DualShocks.
I've
so,
got 2 upstairs.
Yeah,
so.
We will have.
I've got 2 as well.
Yeah,
so.
We can have 4 player of that.
Well, that was the thing with that browser exploit. Not to go back, but
no, it's fine.
It could get past region locks on 3DS.
Nice, that's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it could. And so you update
like,
your 3DS.
Why Nintendo?
Right.
Why? Why are you the ones that are still doing this? I mean, I guess of course you would be. But.
Of course. We got at least 10 more years
I've
of that.
I've been able to play so many other games because. PlayStation's not
okay. Protect Me Night 2 is going to come out in America eventually.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank
what
God.
System is that on?
3DS. Yeah, 3DS. It'll
then,
be the first time
that was the best
the
game
smaller,
I ever discovered completely.
I still play it like every few months.
That's really awesome.
Sick face
with sticks now.
Yeah.
Protect Me
Let's
Night
do that
is
next
like
week.
Yeah, we could, yeah, that's
a fun game.
Like it's almost insulting to Protect Me Night, like how much better it is than the other horseshit that's in the Xbox Live indie game section on the 360.
Yeah.
Like it is like infinitely better in the sense that it is actually a video game.
It's not like a weird social experiment or some terrible.
Well, there, if you want a lacrosse game, that's the place to play.
If you want a million weird, like, paintball games where you can play as avatars.
Uh-huh.
Good. Who found that game, anyway?
It was Doug.
It was me.
Okay.
Of course.
Thanks, Doug.
I don't even know how I found it.
It gave you a dream.
It floated down from the heavens.
Yeah, you woke up and you said, Protect Me Night.
And you found somebody talking about it, like, something awful or something.
Maybe.
Still. I felt like you found it just browsing.
I might have found it.
And it's like, this is a dumb-looking Japanese game.
It doesn't even
download for a dollar.
Right. I haven't looked up, has anyone checked? Have they done, like, a PC build of that? Because they totally could.
I don't think so.
Technically, at least.
Yeah. I think it's still just Xbox.
Because it just, like, all that stuff has to be built in XNA, like, their old, now-defunct, C-sharp framework for making games on Xbox 360. And it would like build to PC if you did it. I was just curious if that like if you could get it on Steam or something.
I don't think so.
That would be way better now that the Xbox 360 is a little long in the tooth. Like it's kind of on its way out.
I haven't plugged mine in a while.
I've got that one sitting over there.
Are you checking right now?
Yeah.
See if you can solve this. All right, Doug's gonna fact check.
Yeah.
See if there's other ways to get Protecting Night. Or even like if I can track that dude down and like. Google translate enough Japanese at him to say, like, hey, you should port this.
You're right.
Nicole could help.
Yeah.
Nicole can Japanese.
Time this guy and make that happen.
They're at least...
Although I guess he's making Protect Me Night 2 now,
right,
so he probably doesn't want to go back to that
game.
They're
probably available enough to reach on Twitter in Japan for over Protect Me Night 2, at least.
Yeah. That game's fun. If you haven't played Protect Me Night,
and
check that out,
dollar.
Maybe. Yeah, you have a dollar.
It's $3, thank you.
Yeah, whatever.
I think that hiked the price up.
You can try the demo for free, and then if you don't like it based on that, then you're a jerk.
Go kill yourself.
That's my answer.
More tornado.
Accurate.
Yeah,
fun to play with the arcade sticks too.
That was a good revelation.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a PC version.
That's unfortunate, but not necessarily surprising.
Yeah.
Japanese game developers to this day do not seem stoked about the PC.
Nope.
I'm not sure exactly what
it's
is,
becoming more and more common.
Like, well, for I don't really know how it works with small, like with indie stuff over there, but for like the big stuff it definitely is. Like there's a PC version of everything now because there has to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Well, like when I know we're gonna talk about this separately, but when we were at GDC, like there's so many just like Japanese people everywhere because like Nintendo's there and Sony and whatever, and they would come by and we would have our little tablet stand up and they'd be like tapping the screen like incessantly, and I'm like, no, these are PC builds, use the controllers. They're like, oh, and they just leave.
You had the controller sitting in front of the tablet.
Didn't matter.
Too.
No one saw the controllers. Everyone saw the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you had said that one time, someone asked you if you're making mobile games, and they're like looking at the flyer. So, no.
I made that joke today, and I didn't realize that was a real thing that happened to you guys.
Like you said, we'll go into, like, super detailed specifics about, like, other cool stuff we saw there, but we'll talk about little chunks like this. Like, I had a German guy, literally irate with me because there weren't Android builds of our games. Like, he came over, he looked at the monitor, and said, like, he's like, platforms? And I'm like, well, we're targeting PC and console right now, so we're on the blah, 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 blah. He's like, why not Android?
This is
where
I'm at.
Sure. So I gave him like what my kind of like standard, because there were people selling all kinds of weird like middleware solutions. Like, if you want to hear someone talk to you about player acquisition and retention and ad revenue streams and
go
other
to
awesome
GDC
shitty words,
and try to show something
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, yes.
That was
try to
all
sell you
me.
That stuff.
But, I had one guy try. I have no idea what his deal was, but he was like shoving Game Maker down my throat. It was awful. I don't know if you guys know.
And you claimed that he wasn't actually employed by them.
I have strong opinions. He's like, oh, how long have you guys been developing? I'm like, oh, we've been for about like 10 months, and we get planned. And then he's like, I can't believe when people tell me that, like, we have a turnaround of like a week. I was sitting behind our table because we had, I don't know if any of you guys saw the picture that we posted.
I did a small
booth space. We had like, there were three of us or six of us in this aisle with three per side. We're on the end And our table, like, basically took up the whole width of it, and we had the monitor, a laptop running a trailer, and then our tablet stand on the one side.
Right.
And I'm sitting behind the table because there's not much room to stand in front with both of us, and, like, Dustin was just standing in front, and I was just kind of like, I was playing secretary, keeping track of all of our business cards, and still just kind of talking to people when I could.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, comes up, he's kind of, like, standing in the guy's booth next to us, trying to talk at me about Game Maker, and I'm like, wonder, like, that's great. I'm like, awesome. And then he went, like, him and his, like, cohort left. And then, like, I was doing something else, and I may have been talking to you or talking to someone, and he comes up around the other, I'm on the other side of the booth, he comes up around that side, he's like, can I show you a demo of our game we built in Game Maker? And I'm like, sure. And so the guy brings out the laptop, and it was just dead. And then he's like, oh, like, didn't think, couldn't plug it in, or what, I don't know why, but he's just like, oh, it's dead. Well, I guess we can't. And I'm like, cool. And he had a meeting with someone, so I don't know what he was going to do.
Important meeting. Goodbye.
I'm like, whatever, guy. It was the weirdest thing. Like, he needed me to use Game Maker.
So that
like,
was your weirdest interaction in San Francisco. Yes. You were very lucky.
No, we actually had a weirder one that was hardly an interaction, more of an experience. It was that one morning when we got down on the BART platform, and the train coming from...
Oh, just the crazy guy?
No, lady. That was a lady.
Oh, okay. I didn't actually look at them.
You could tell by the voice?
No, not really. I mean, whatever.
Anyway, So it was coming from where we were going to. It was going towards the airport, because we're like the last stop before the airport.
Mm.
And this lady, like, the train was empty. She gets off. She's got like a suitcase and like at least one other bag. And she's just yelling. I don't know if she was speaking English or not. This is, like, older, very...
It was a mix of, like, there was, like, Span English. Like, it was mostly Spanish, yeah. And, like, every third or fourth word was English.
All over the place. It's this older black lady, and she's just, like, it sounded like she was yelling at the train conductor or something. And then she, like, there, it's just us and, like, maybe one or two sparse other people on this platform. She is just standing there, like, we're just, like, waiting for the train. She's just yelling at no one, not looking at someone, kind of staring at the ceiling, like, dragging her bag around, kind of pacing and just yelling.
Perfect. I can't believe you were surprised by that, because
No, I wasn't surprised by it. It was just kind of like, it stood out.
Well, yeah, sure. Last year, that experience was, there was one dude, do you remember the guy?
The guy who, like, followed us around, kind of?
Yeah, he was just, like, he was shouting, like, you must praise Jesus, or something to that effect.
And that was scarier than this, because
you
could understand him, and he had a reason. He was doing something. She was just shouting.
Harmless maniac.
Because that dude, it was like being,
cat lady.
That was like being in like a horror movie for like 15 minutes.
Definitely.
But that dude, it was like the middle of the night. It was like 10 or 11 at night, and we were walking.
We had seen him one or two times beforehand, like maybe like the day.
Yeah, he was in like the closer to like the city center doing it. Like,
and this was like,
I don't know if it was more quietly, but you didn't notice as much because there was actual shit going on. Like the world
and
was
then,
happening.
This was the last. We didn't see him after that. I don't think.
No, because it was walking towards the AT&T stadium party.
Jesse Hacker.
Jesse Hacker from DBZ back in the day, and now makes video games.
We ran into him on the Expo Floor. Like he like recognized us.
That was last year. Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know
so
that.
We went with him to like the giant, like there was a crazy enormous party in the AT&T stadium where the Giants play.
Yeah. Okay.
And like on our way there from the convention center.
In like a back dark alley.
Yeah, like most of the backlights, the side streets we were taking were just like completely deserted. And that dude just like set up shop on a corner shouting just directly at like the handful of like GDC people basically going to the same party.
Great.
Just about something about Jesus and like apologizing for your sins, and
you didn't get the important message. Apparently,
I guess not.
He'll be there next year.
Yeah, I
didn't see him at all this time.
Yeah, I think I said this to like a couple of you guys individually, but San Francisco is it's one of the like overall one of the nicer like cleaner cities I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. But it is like exponentially more homeless filled. Like there are an exponentially larger number of homeless people in San Francisco than literally any other city I can remember being in.
I absolutely agree.
And I'm assuming part of it is the weather. Like there's like you can just be out and living in the elements.
You're not going to freeze to death.
Yeah, all the time because it's like 60 or 70 degrees every day forever.
Yeah.
But man, I don't know. It's like both. It's a mix of everything. Like it breaks your heart and it's like totally tragic
there.
And it's just weird and sad and like also it could freak you out if you feel like someone's actually might be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most of them are just
I'm
like
sure
down
they're
not.
Yeah.
Like 99% of them easily were just like folks who were clearly just on hard times and like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how they got there, but unfortunately that's the situation and they ended up in.
Right.
But one or two, you were like, all right, if
please
I
stop
actually
following
made,
me.
Yeah, right. if I actually made eye contact with that guy, he might like try to bite me or, yeah. or like take a swing or something. So
yeah, yeah.
that's where I was at with the yelling like, uh-huh. lady, as you said. Like I didn't even bother looking towards her.
Head
I was
down,
like, do not engage.
No, I was looking at the sign mainly. Mm-hmm. We just like trying to because we that was the day we weren't sure if we could have taken that one train. We totally could have.
Yeah.
And so that was like she got on the next train that showed up, which was still pretty empty, and just kind of like I'm pretty sure there was a collective sigh of relief for the few people who were on that platform. Just kind of like because everyone just kind of like skirted away like ever uh-huh. so slightly. She was like right in the middle. Like, it was weird.
Yep, so that was part of our experience.
That was the highlight of that trip.
Overall, it was good. And then I think, like, the last thing I'll say here, because we're going to go into, like, some specifics about, like, some other people we met and, like, some other cool games we played. That's what we'll talk about later. But as far as, like, stuff that's worth sharing with, like, you guys or just other folks in general that might be worth opening for discussion is that, so we had brief meetings with, like, basically all the console folks here.
Cool.
And we talked to some Xbox guys.
Like,
yeah, we talked to some Nintendo guys. We talked to some Sony people. And it has been, they were pretty much the same as, like, the other interactions with these companies, where, like, Nintendo was pretty responsive, and, like, they were listening to you and, like, doing pretty good on support stuff, but they don't have, like, well-defined systems, I guess, for, like, how to do, like, how to requisition certain, like basically not, like, well-defined, like, you could fill out this form and then do this thing. It's a lot of, like, send an email kind of requesting this to, like, this certain email address, and then somebody will get back
probably,
to you about it.
Yeah.
I think it's just because there's still some new...
Yeah, they're still figuring out, like, how to properly manage, like, third-party relations on, like, in the micro level, where it's, like, two people like us or whatever.
Right.
It's also
anything.
Fallout.
Something like that. Have you ever been to, I think it's the Wario World website or something. They have a developer support website up that's like from 1994.
Yes, I remember.
But they still use it. It's awesome looking.
I remember. Yes, I have been there.
It's so rad.
I have to go find this.
Yeah, I'll link you to it at some point. It's real good.
I remember.
It's a pretty like GeoCities era webpage.
Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah, but anyway, but yeah, they were actually awesome, and they had a group sit down with developers where they were like taking questions and like generally looking for like.
Feedback.
Queries on like how they can improve like the middleware like to better port on Wii U and just like other general process questions, and that was pretty good. And then kind of on a lark, I went over like the main PlayStation. Like we were in like the side hall where like some of the business stuff was, and that's where like our booth was.
That's where we lived.
Always. Yeah, and I went kind of on a lark. I went over to the main hall and the main Sony booth to just talk to somebody to see if like we could like maybe. Like, if there was a good place for us to, like, send builds if they wanted to try something out in their own time, or if we could, like, schedule something for or them to play something. And one of the guys there, straight up, like, that moment, he was like, oh, you're here and you've got a booth? I'll come play your game right now. And he followed me, like, across the convention, like, to the other hall, to our booth, and played, like, our demo in its entirety.
Cool.
Yeah, he asked a couple questions, and I talked for a little bit, and then, like, and that was super awesome. It was
so nice
of him to do that. And then... We get to Microsoft.
Oh boy.
And I'm not gonna say like they were perfectly pleasant folks. Like they were they were very polite and nice to talk to, but the whole transaction there was just so much less human than the other two.
Which
just,
is our entire experience with them.
So
on
like
the
I went up
side.
I went
believe
up,
that,
yeah,
absolutely.
Because I went up and I asked, so are you guys taking meetings at all for like Xbox ID or ID at Xbox, which is like their like indie, like their personal publishing thing.
Yeah.
I said, oh yeah, we'll have people taking meetings from like 10 to 11:30 tomorrow. So come in then. I said, okay, great.
Okay.
An hour and a half.
Right.
Out of the entire show.
Yeah.
And
so I saw
an hour and a half on Friday morning.
Well, I bet. To be fair, I bet if you had like done your due diligence and not been me and like tried to impromptu something on the floor, you could have scheduled it later.
Who cares? Anyway.
I love this. You're very. It's good. Anyway.
Wow.
Just I like how you engaged you are with the Xbox folks. Anyway, so I show up there like basically right in the morning. I'm like the second person like in line, quote unquote, to take a meeting. And like right on time, like 10 o'clock, there's like two people who come in and they grab me and the guy in front of me and say, "All right, come on back," and they take you into these little meeting rooms with like a monitor and you know, like some brand shit, like that Xbox pens and Xbox notepads
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you take
No, I didn't actually get any either, so.
You got the Nintendo Pen, but you wouldn't get the Xbox Pen?
Yes. Who would want an Xbox Pen?
I'd rather have the Nintendo Pen.
That, of course. And they gestured, again, they like, we got pens, go ahead and take some pens. And I said, alright, I'll take a Nintendo Pen. At Xbox, she was kind of done with me. That was part of the reason I didn't take one. Like, in the most polite, like, not mean, not like, but like, you could tell that she was done.
You didn't want to give her a reason.
Yeah, you could tell that she was done discussing the things we were discussing.
Filthy mongrel taking our pens.
But anyway, like, I went in there, and she was super nice, and we sat down, and she was like, alright, what do you want to talk about? I said, oh, well, we're at the Geese Player, we're showing off some games, and, like, I brought one of those tablets with us, and I was like, I got a demo right here, if you want to see, like, a good 15-minute chunk or something of what we're working on. And she's like, sure, okay, and then I played the demo, I kind of gave her, like, the rough spiel that I've been giving everybody else.
Uh-huh.
And, by the end of it, so, because when we reached each of these points with the other, like, with Nintendo, they were like, all right, cool, we'll set you up with dev hardware, and, like, we'll get you in the system, and we'll get going. And kind of the same thing with Sony. With Sony, like, our outreach thing was trying to get to still with them was to try to get PS4 dev hardware, and they said, all right, well, we'll see what we can do to expedite that process. Like, here's some email addresses you can try to follow up with, and we'll go from there. And when I got done with the Xbox thing, she paused for about like a quarter of a second, like she was a little stop, and she said, oh, that's really interesting. Did you see like our Phil Spencer's keynote from yesterday? Blah blah blah. Like, so he's the head of Xbox in Microsoft.
Okay.
Like, did you see all the our exciting announcements for Windows 10 and Xbox development coming together? And I said no, I didn't. But that sounds interesting. And so she gave me what I would assume is like the start of a press release, where we're so excited to get our developers involved with making universal apps for Microsoft platforms.
Of course they are. So you didn't tell me half of this.
I wanted to save it for, okay. I wanted to dump it all at once.
Good.
She goes to the thing, she's like, so we just released the SDK, like, you can find more details, but we'd like to start you guys off there, and then kind of, like, and then we'll work with Xbox stuff and whatever, but... It was like a person was saying this to me, but it was still like you could tell
could
by like the tone of voice.
Teleprompter.
Yeah, you could tell by like the tone of voice and like the choice of words and basically like the how ready she was to kind of like get on to the next person that we were being sort of kids tabled again, which is how I felt like every other time we've had an interaction with the Xbox folks.
Uh-huh.
Where it's just like, all right, that's great. Glad to hear it. Come back later or something. Like, I don't know. It just. And then the other funny part, which, like, this is still telling for me, like, just for the... It seems like this has been the Microsoft attitude, like, the company line thing. I said, She said, well, you can find all that information on the Windows 10 stuff. And I said, okay, like, do you have a URL? And she's like, no, but you can. I said, oh, I'll just Google it. She's like, you mean Bing it.
You monster.
And she was just like, she was joking, but okay. also you could still tell that like, that's like the mentality. Like, you get in there and you're in the tribe, man. Yeah. You know what they do in the Microsoft tribe? They use Microsoft products.
Right.
If you want to see a bunch of Windows phones, go to a Microsoft like talk or whatever at GC. That's the only place where I've seen more than like three Windows phones in a single room. It's like one of those Xbox developer meetups where it's Microsoft employees with those devices.
How many Zunes?
I don't think anyone's carrying that
torch.
Did they
cancel it?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I would like to think that, like, even as he's, like, down managing the Clippers or whatever, Steve Ballmer still uses his Zune.
I have a brown Zune and I'd use it today.
In my dreams, that's what, like Steve Ballmer's got his, like, game-ready playlist that he listens to on his Zune every time.
Courtside.
Yeah.
I think I've actually only seen one Zune in my entire life.
I've seen a few store models.
No, I mean, like, in the wild.
It's been so long that I don't remember if I've ever seen one. I bet I did at some point.
Not him. Someone from high school had one.
I never had one.
I don't know who it was.
Do you know if they bought it for themselves, or did, like, their grandma accidentally get it?
I don't know.
I wanted a Zune HD super bad.
I actually heard that thing was pretty good.
It was great.
Because that was the product, in Microsoft, like, that was the Microsoft of that era, where they would, like, release shitty versions of a thing for, like, years, make a really good one, and then cancel the program.
Right.
It died not long after Zune HD came out.
Yeah. I remember, you want to hear a cool, like, Microsoft failed product story? Do any of you guys know what the Kin is?
Kin?
Yeah. I think that's what it was called. It was a little tiny, I might be mixing this up with a different Microsoft product, because I think one of them was, like, a tablet. But the product I'm talking about was like a little square cell phone. Yep. Okay, that thing, they announced it they had, like, an enormous, like, publicity thing at specifically at Movement, like the techno show down here in Detroit. And I'm assuming plenty other places around that time.
Oh, is that where you really saw it?
Yeah, that's where I saw it. Like, there were people walking around with those things strapped to their chests. They had little kiosks. They had, like, dozens of them. Ugh. They had, like, brandy shit all over the place. And then, like, 6 weeks later, after selling, like, 30,000 of the things, they junked it. Like,
they were no longer making 30,000?
I think it was something. It was tens of thousands. I forget exactly how many, but...
So... The issue with it was that it came out way too late. It was developed as like a transitional product and kind of just to learn the market and to compete with the Sidekick.
Yeah. That's just not everything you need to know about the Kin. Right. It was a product developed to compete with the Sidekick in an era where I'm pretty sure the iPhone 1 was out.
The iPhone 1 was out. They didn't expect the rate of uptake.
Right.
And it was started...
That's fair.
The development of it was started before, like, the App Store existed.
Sure, yeah. Yes, I do remember that, because that is before... Because the iPhone 1 didn't use apps. There was a point in the original...
Late in it.
Yeah. There was a... Well, no, I mean, like, when they announced it, like, Steve Jobs said this thing was going to exist. He was like, this is a web platform. Like, people are going to make websites that interface with the iPhone, and you're going to do all the shit you want to do on an iPhone by going to the web browser and, like, going to the site, and that'll do with all your iPhone stuff.
Yeah.
That lasted long.
Right, yeah. Like, most of the way through their first product iteration.
I remember going to Origins for a Bleach thing for some reason. And Sean Hinman had an iPhone, like, a week after they came out.
That sounds like, okay.
I think that might be our first Shan shout-out.
Yeah.
There you go.
He sells original them, iPhone. So he always gets them early now.
Does he work for a carrier or something, or did? Like,
he did.
He talked about waiting in line forever for it.
Okay.
So,
I mean, I guess it would have been AT&T if it was the iPhone 1, because that's where you could get that.
Mm-hmm. I want to say he works for T-Mobile now, or used to.
Yep. So, yeah, that was a... Microsoft's got all kinds of weird products like that. Like, I guess it wasn't named that, I guess. It was something else. But they did have, like, a weird, like, iPad killer, like, a handheld tablet thing. They'd worked on for years.
It was, like, a book.
Yes, and it, like, folded open. And they came to that before they even, like, attempted to launch it.
The software that ran has been ported to iPad.
Awesome.
And is, like, a legit app that's actually really nice.
Sure, yeah.
Though they did just discontinue the microtransactions in it.
Okay.
Because the business model was, like, the app is free, but if you want, like, different brushes or different colors or whatever, you had to buy them.
Yeah. And that was the weirder thing about that other product, too, like, the Kin, is that, like, I can only imagine, like, taking account out of the equation how long it took to make the hardware for that thing, like, it was a completely custom, like, they had clearly put a lot of thought and effort into, like, the UI and stuff, and it had, like, I think it had, like, little panes you would swipe through, because it was this weird little tiny screen, and they had to go out of their way to, like, make a user interface that would work on, like, a small, square, like, cell phone display.
I think you're getting it slightly mixed up with, what was the, like, the Palm OS?
Web OS. You might be cross-pollinating those in my memory a little bit.
Because the devices, like, the phones
did look kind of similar. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because that was actually around the same time, though, too. So that's probably also why I'm mixing it up.
I was pumped for Web OS.
the last throws of, like, Symbian phones and stuff like that, all that stuff was dying around that area, like... As the iPhone arose.
Yeah, but it was obvious that Symbian was going
out. Sure. there was a new Symbian phone as of, like, 2012 or something overseas, like, in Europe or somewhere.
Because Nokia was making bank on those for a while. Microsoft bought
them. Yeah, now, like, the original Nokia that Microsoft doesn't own, like, they still make, like, weird Android tablets for Chinese markets or something.
Have you ever read about how Nokia came to make only Microsoft phones?
Not in depth. I heard at the time that, like, it was kind of their, like, it was, like, the rumor part that I heard that it was, like, their weird Manchurian candidate move, because, what's his name? The guy who, like, became the CEO of Nokia and then, like, immediately was assimilated into Microsoft, like, kind of shortly after.
He was an ex-Microsoft guy.
Yes.
And became the president of Nokia.
And then Nokia went Windows exclusive.
We're going Windows exclusive, and then, like, a year later... announced that Microsoft had bought Nokia.
it was a very strange turn of events. That stuff's awesome. God, consumer electronics are weird.
How's the Windows phone doing now?
I mean, like, it's okay. Technically better than they've ever been, but that still means that they have, like, 6% market share, maybe. So.
I considered buying one when I bought my new phone.
Yeah, I mean, I like mine.
The only real problem there is that, like, they just don't have, like, apps
for the hardware's kind of shit, and there are no apps.
Sure. And that's really only, like, a recent thing. Like, when they were originally pushing, like, with those first Nokia products, like, they would go toe-to-toe, like, roughly on, like, specs for new phones. Like, it would never be perfectly up to par with, like, the latest Samsung thing or, like, the new iPhone. They were close. These days, they've been, like, punching in, like, the 99 to, like, 150 range where they're, like, kind of intentionally releasing.
Well, Microsoft's idea was, in order to make it easier for them to develop and to make the user experience more consistent, was that for the first batch and the first, like, couple updates, it was, like, a specific set of specifications.
Yeah, I do remember that. And they did loosen it with, like, Windows 8, and like, Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8.1. Yeah. They've stretched it a little bit. But
it's not like Android, where you can put Android on anything that you can get to run Android.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's okay. Like, I hope they keep doing it. Like, I hope that there's more, like, somebody still attempts to be, like, a third player. And I think it's kind of, like, I think that their style, like, I actually like the aesthetic of the Windows Phone stuff, and, like, even the modern Windows 8 stuff, when it's not, like, in your face fucking up your workflow.
I actually wanted to talk about this, like, a month ago, but Microsoft's actually, like, really on their game right now.
Yeah, they've never been better, honestly. Like, the troubles we're having with them is probably because the company is being better, and, like,
every structuring,
we're doing is obviously not a focus for, like, the things that they're in, kind of, like, are high-priority things for them.
Right.
I bet a lot of that has to do with like, how prominent the PlayStation is as far as, like, being profitable for Sony. Like, they kind of don't... So yeah, exactly. Like, they don't have a choice but to make sure the PlayStation's on their game, because that's where the money is. Like, Microsoft, Xbox is, like, a fourth wheel, like, in their... suite of things that make them profitable.
Right. The handling of the Xbox One is getting better and better.
It is improving.
It's too late.
They're PCs.
No, I don't think so. Like, they'll still be fine. Like, they're not going to probably win. Like, I doubt they'll outsell PS4, like, life to date when all is said and done, but I don't think it'll be, like, some insane gap. I bet they'll, like, Sony will be, like, maybe 20 to 30% ahead when all is said and done.
But, like, their presence on mobile platforms is getting much better.
Yeah, they finally decided to, like, let people use their software everywhere. Like,
the Outlook app for phones is really just a reskinned app that they bought. But it's free and it's really good.
Yeah, and, like, the mobile office stuff mobile office stuff on iOS and Android is pretty good from what I've heard. Yeah. I've used the iOS stuff a little bit. It's pretty good.
Like, and all of their PC stuff and Mac stuff, they're selling as services now as opposed to software. So, like, instead of it being $500 for a copy of Office, it's, like, $100 to put it on 5 computers for a year.
Yeah, the Office 365 stuff.
Yeah.
And they still do sell, like, if you want box copies of Office, you can still do that technically. Yeah. But they don't really, like, advertise it.
What is it?
Windows 10's free.
Windows 10's free if you have Windows 7 or 8.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. Like, ever since Sanjay Nadella, I believe that is his name, the new CEO, like, ever since he took over, like, he's basically doing all the right things for that company. And I still like most of the things that Microsoft makes. So, like, anytime we're talking about kind of just, like, our specific weirdness, a lot of it just has to do with they're a giant corporation that doesn't really have time for folks of our caliber, I suppose.
I don't know.
That's interesting. But, I totally agree. Like, I don't think Microsoft has ever been... And doing a better job at, like, servicing their user base than they are right now.
And especially if you compare them to Apple, like, Apple's not trying to do anything right now.
Right. I wonder what the future is for Macs. Like, for Mac computer hardware.
Well, like, I mean, it was an easy thing to predict, but when Steve Jobs died, I was like, okay, this is the start of the slide back into 90s Apple.
Sure.
Like, their brand image is really good, their current products are really good, their philosophy is really good, but without Steve Jobs there, what always happens is they just kind of stay where they're at, and they start to slide into mediocrity, and then...
Yeah, we'll see what happens continuing, but yeah, that's not inaccurate. And, like, the most obvious sign of that was probably when they acquired Beats. like a year ago or whenever it was, because they were basically like buying cool at that point.
Right.
Like, here's a brand that people think is like hip and with it and totally rad, brah.
Her name has been in the news lately.
That was before my phone was made, because it says Beats Audio.
So yeah, Lorraine has an HTC made Windows phone with Beats Audio.
Fro's old phone was that, had that too.
That'll be a collector's item, maybe.
Totally.
I think HP still has the license for like Beats Audio.
Yeah, I'd believe that. I know their laptops had it for a really long time.
That's funny.
What else about, there's something other HP related thing. Oh, they released, I don't know that anyone's using it for anything, but like that was within like the last year, I think too, where they finally released, like all that WebOS source code into the wild.
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, you can just like, they put out some distribution of it that anybody can modify. That was another wonderful, like, consumer electronics tragedy.
Well, like first generation tablets, the WebOS tablet from HP was super good. It ran WebOS, so
I bought one.
Yeah, I
like,
forgot that
it,
you had
yeah,
one.
When it, yeah, when they went under, like when they decided we're not doing that, like a month and a half into making those tablets.
Is that what that first?
Yeah, that's when they had that fire sale where they were like, they were like iPad prices. They were like,
you're shouting.
Sorry.
It's kind of loud.
Sorry. Thank you. Headphones are a little different. No, because it was, there was another just like a totally insane, like, corporate turn thing where they, like, there was enormous marketing buildup. They were like, all right, we're getting tablets. We're going to take on the iPad and we're going to fuck shit up. And they put these things out for like $400 or $500. And then, like, within like a month, they were like, we're done. We're not doing this. They're $150. Go to Best Buy and pick one up on clearance.
Cool.
It was nuts.
You did.
And if you just wanted a tablet to read the internet, it was great.
Yeah, on the browse web pages, it would do that. There were weird, like, there was a Kindle app that is now permanently in beta because obviously they were never going to finish it. But
have
you could read a book on there.
Have you ever looked at the Mac version of EverQuest?
I haven't. I've heard about it. I know what you're talking about.
Everybody even talked about it here.
I think we talked about it on the podcast.
I think so,
It's still a funny story.
That tablet specifically, God, I can't remember what the brand, what they called them, like what their brand name was.
Yeah,
for those
I don't
things.
Remember.
But that was my first Android device too, because once they broke it open with like a decent Cyanogen mod, the first thing I did was like, all right, I might as well run a thing that's actually going to be updated on this.
Yeah.
And it works fine. Like, it works okay. I ran some PlayStation emulators on there, and like you could pair a DualShock 3 to it with Bluetooth, and it just kind of works. So... Weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Consumer electronics.
Weird, wild stuff.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that was some of the, those were some of the things that happened at GDC.
Some of the weirder things that happened at GDC.
Yep. If anybody's got anything else, like, feel free to throw it out. Otherwise, I'm going to mention the only piece of news that I plan on discussing, and then we'll probably wrap this thing up. Any, Kyle, Phil, anything going on that you want to throw out there?
My head hurts.
Which kind of hurt?
Every kind.
So that's what I thought.
Okay. All right. I'm going to...
Wait, I want to say something.
Okay. What do you want to say?
So, last Sunday, right, because we were supposed to leave, our flight left at like 6 in the morning or something like that. So I didn't sleep last Sunday. And I borrowed Dustin's PS3 and started playing more Tales of Cilia 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not very far. I'm maybe 3 hours in, but there's some weird time traveling, like parallel timeline crap going on, and I'm in horrible, crippling medical debt. My travel is restricted because of that. I can't take many trains, but that's my. There's been a lull since the beginning of the year in my Tales of Journey.
Fine.
So I figured
too much Pokemon, not enough Tales.
I know, a lot. Well, that's because, so I was actually mentioning this to Dustin earlier. I had a huge spike in handheld games, which is great. I love handheld stuff.
Uh-huh.
And now I've kind of, like, reached the cliff. Like,
you can't go any higher.
No, like, there's nothing else I really want to play right now. Like, I played a bunch of stuff on my Vita, and on my, like, I was just playing tons and tons of Pokemon, and it's just kind of like, I don't want to play any. I want to play console stuff now, so that's why I think I'm going to be.
Controller.
I think I'm going to be holding his PS3 hostage while I play Cilia 2, and then, you know, what happens after Cilia 2?
Cilia 3?
No. Final Fantasy 13.
Oh boy!
Oh, I want to hear about that.
It's still in my queue. It's gonna happen.
Hopefully, that'll be like a summer's worth.
I hope so.
We'll just like guide you through the stages. So
right, it'll track you through your depression.
I'm still trying to remain optimistic.
We'll get you all the way to acceptance on the Final Fantasy.
This experiment is much better if you try to remain optimistic.
I want my goal. Is to make it to the end.
Good. You have to. I won't let you stop.
I want it, like, whether or not I'm kind of, like just flat out done with that game, I want to make it to the end. That's my goal. I guess that could be summer. Who knows how long it'll take me to play Silly 2.
We'll see.
I'm not really sure how the game is structured, because in the 2 hours, because I played for, like, maybe 2 to 3 hours straight before I started, like, really getting tired and just kind of went and watched internet videos for a while.
But, the right call.
I went through, like there were just, like, small chapters, just, like, starting and ending. Like, I finished, maybe, I'm on, like, 4 or something now, and they just kind of happen. So, and in the top of, like, on the UI, it says main story constantly, and I don't know what that means. It's really weird, but I like that. I'm looking forward to playing more of that, and the next Tales game comes out this year on PS3. Which apparently is, like, kind of more closer to their, like, fantasy, because, like, Tales of Silly is kind of spun out. It's more, like, futuristic-y kind of, which is cool. It's a nice break. A lot of the other ones have been very fantasy-oriented. But this one is going back, and apparently you fight stuff on the
fantasy
overworld.
Roots.
As opposed to in, like, specific battle, like, fields. Which is cool. I'm interested.
Okay.
I want to play it.
Interesting. That's cool.
So I'm gonna Birth by Sleep in.
How many hours are you on Silly 2, do you know?
Like 3.
Okay, so like not at all?
No.
Okay, just curious.
I had like half an hour from that first time I played, like
and a couple hours
ago.
Before we took off for that flight or whatever. Okay, cool.
But I was wrapped up in a blanket, had the lights dimmed off, and we have an electric fireplace in our basement.
Cool.
It's pretty cold.
Yeah.
So I had that on, and I'm just like in the dark playing. It was
just
with
the anime, curled up under a warm blanket.
Uh-huh. It's great.
Good to know.
There's a big fluffy cat in that game. He's cute. And because I got the collector's edition, I've got a little
5 out of 5.
Fluffy cat is fluffy.
Like, he's enormous. He's like kind of cylindrical almost.
Would hug.
I would.
All the fluffiest cats are basically like they look like they could have been canned.
He's basically a tube.
Cats are a liquid.
Just like that cardboard from earlier. You were going to pour the cardboard down
the sink. They're one of those weird, I forget what they're called, those like substances. They're liquids until you put pressure on them. And then they're
amorphous,
like...
Amorphous?
Yeah.
Non-Nutrient fluids.
Non-Nutrient fluids.
Yeah.
That's what I was actually looking for.
Yeah. Science of the day.
So that's what cats are.
Meow.
I have to create it.
Random other fun GDC stuff. Kay. So our room in our hotel was like first floor, and like I can gush about how much I love this hotel, like, all day. It's amazing.
Like I said, don't get confused. Like, it's not like a one-off thing. Like, it's not a mom-and-pop thing. It's a Staybridge Suites.
I know.
So it's,
still,
like, it's a good, like, it's basically like a studio apartment, but it's a hotel.
It's cool.
That part of it
is
really awesome.
They have the best
But it's not like the only place you'll find this is, like,
San
Francisco.
I love this one specifically, because it's, like, it's kind of structured, like, it's structured around this courtyard in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the rooms open out to it, but they're on, like, tiers. Like, everyone has an outside door.
Okay.
But, like, they're all, like... They all have, like, a separate room for, like, the bedroom. There's a kitchen in all of them. And there's, like, a living area. And they're great. But on our way, our room was in, like, the back part on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And one night we went back there, there was, like, a big cat walking around. Another night,
big old cat.
There was a raccoon.
It was a big raccoon.
It was a big raccoon. I was scared, because I think...
Raccoons are just homeless cats.
Were we walking with...
Not that day.
That wasn't okay.
No.
Because I was worried.
We would have been jumped by that raccoon.
Exactly.
Right,
Subsequent nights.
Remember.
They do, like, dinner. Like, you can go and just get, like, free food. Like
They're familiar. Because this is the same
that was
hotel.
The this is where the nachos came from.
Gen Con back in, like, when we were in the city, like, the last couple times.
Okay.
It's that hotel, basically.
Gotcha.
But in California.
And I was just kind of nervous because we would walk basically the length of the hotel to get back to our room, carrying food, and this was after we had seen the raccoon, and I'm just like...
We gotta get that room
I know. I'm looking it up
right now.
Yes. If there's something on there, like there must have been a cancellation or something, because I actually did check like right when the housing stuff went up, and I was totally fucked then. So let me know if any of that looks like it's changed.
Yeah,
I'll have to check into it before I publish this, so no one can take it out from under us.
Right when the housing stuff.
Like in early February when they start, when they did their official, like, now you can get hotel reservations or whatever.
Oh, right.
Okay. I looked into it then, and it looked like it had already been, like, booked immediately, like, within minutes. It was, like, shopping for Amiibos all over again.
Basically, the same, yeah.
They are nice hotels, though.
It's so nice. Anyway. They have a sports court. It's just a basketball hoop.
That's all I need.
Yeah. More than you
it's just
that's all the sports
like,
that there are,
as
far as I'm concerned.
Right.
It's right next to the pool and the jacuzzi, which are both outside.
Did they have a grill?
Yes.
Good.
There was a big picnic area, and this time I didn't see
those weird outdoor
heater
things that were like...
Which you probably wouldn't really...
In California, because they're...
Really.
Northern Wimps. California.
Bravelys.
I mean...
And I didn't
5 degrees.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it as much this year because we just didn't have the TV on really. But last year it was like, oh, it's going to be in the 50s tomorrow, so you better bundle up when you head to work in the morning.
So funny. I wanted
you
to die.
You weak, soft West Coast people.
It was, to be fair, it was a little warmer this time.
It definitely was. It was like 60, 70s all week.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
When Mary and I went 2 years ago, it was... in the 40s for part of the trip, and it was too cold to do certain things.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't go to the beach. I mean, you could.
We still did.
Yes, that's the spirit.
But I didn't swim.
Fair enough.
I've swam in Lake Superior when it wasn't much warmer than that, so
which
it won't
is
always
probably
me.
Slightly worse.
I did.
Than
I have jumped into Lake Michigan.
Yes.
I have jumped into Lake Michigan once when it was like 20 degrees,
didn't
like not outside, but like the water.
Like the water.
You might
yeah.
When we went to go see the Zelda Symphony in Grand Rapids, you walked in when we on our
yeah,
way
that
there,
was
we
like
went to like
November
Michigan,
or whatever.
Lake Michigan because we just like drove there.
And it was like -2 or something dumb.
It was cold.
And you went swimming?
I didn't go swimming.
We
but I like waded like up to my knees basically.
I maybe stood in it.
I let it touch my bare skin.
You have to let the story go. You went swimming.
Okay,
sure. We saw a lighthouse. That's why we went.
You saw a shark. Swimming in Lake Michigan in the winter.
That's the only time they come out.
Badass.
By your ankles.
Oh, right. God.
You beat it to death.
Well, yeah, after that.
It tried to bite you and you punched
kicked
it in the snout.
Yeah, I kicked it to death with my cold, numb feet.
Yeah.
I feel no pain, sea creature.
Took him home and made a soup.
Mm-hmm.
Shark fin.
I read a story about a shark killing someone like... 300 miles inland or something. It had traveled through river channels.
Oh my god.
That's like way
amazingly
too...
terrifying.
Uh-huh.
That's like a Ripley's like, it came out of my toilet.
Basically, yeah. It wasn't a big river either.
Nope.
But like at the point that it
that's weird.
Murdered.
You should
have surprised it could like stand the freshwater.
Yeah, that's
that
what they were saying.
That's incredible. That thing was on a mission.
Right.
I guess it just kept moving.
There's like a one-off TLC special in there of like, I didn't know I was pregnant, and then a shark attacked me.
And I had my baby.
I was in the pool at Best Western, and then a shark was there.
The shark
and then I
ate
birth.
The fetus that I wasn't expecting.
Just the placenta.
It's like a 90s Fox special now. Surprise shark attack.
Yep. It's going to be all right.
Morning coffee, you're stepping in a puddle. Shark.
Shark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I remember when TV was like that, when they would have that shit on, like, oh god.
The 90s.
That was like the Cops era.
Well, they just wanted to take that formula.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
When surgery goes wrong.
I remember that.
There was a guy, on our flight back to Detroit, like, we had a layover in,
Atlanta,
and our flight from Atlanta to Detroit, there was a guy, like, propped up with an iPad watching... That. Like, he bothered to queue up episodes of, like, weird surgery stories. This is the thing he went out of his way to consume. Like, I'm gonna watch this shit when I fly home.
Was that, like,
how old was this person?
He was, like, 50s. Like, the salt pepper dude.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing pays me no more.
Yeah. And I was impressed. And the thing he was watching before that was, like, it was Horrible Bosses 2. He watched Horrible Bosses 2 and then transitioned into that for the.
We watched Blended while we were eating dinner one night. Just to, it's bad. Never watched that movie.
What is Blended? I'm not.
That
sure.
One,
it's the latest Adam Sandler.
Where he goes to
you didn't need to tell me not to see that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you, no, no one.
I don't know what the last Adam Sandler.
No, yeah, exactly.
It was Click.
Yeah,
that was the last
go.
Adam
yeah.
Sandler movie I saw.
Mm-hmm. No one needs to know that, but like. It was on, and like we weren't like
we
were watching it, but we weren't like it, we left it on.
I was more
like,
offended by it.
I won't pay money for this, but it's on HBO, and we're just sitting
here.
We're
getting it for free.
So let's take like the slightest glimpse into like
10 seconds.
The collective psyche of America that gives these movies like $150 million every time they come out.
We then like followed that up with Little Miss Sunshine.
It's a good, real good movie.
It was an
very good movie.
Yeah.
I had seen a snippet of that before, but I gotta watch the. It was. I like.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it could not have been. It could not have been more perfectly timed because we needed something
like,
that was worth watching after sitting through that. After sitting through that movie,
cinematic enema.
Yes, where Adam Sandler literally filmed a scene with it where it's like him and Drew Barrymore having a conversation, and then it cuts to like two rhinos fucking, and one of them farts.
Yes, that is a thing that happens. You are not wrong.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Also,
but at the same time, like,
CGI artist who went through all that those years of school to Photoshop
exactly.
Adam Sandler and some little shit on ostriches.
Yeah, no. Like, in all honesty, though, like Adam Sandler is the culminating, like, he's the genius of our age because he has figured out how to somehow make these shitty movies where they just go to an exotic location and he hangs out with his friends for a couple of weeks and makes like $150 million.
Compare that to Tyler Perry.
I mean, I guess
like, Tyler Perry is the true genius.
Sure, I suppose so.
The effort level is.
Oh God!
Box office receipts are the same either way.
Mm-hmm. So that was a wonderful cinematic experience.
Cinema.
Good way to spend an evening.
It's probably equivalent to us watching The Draft in New York.
Oh, what, Draft Day?
Or, yeah,
no, that's not quite fair. No, come on.
Yeah.
It was football? Not really, but it was
stand football.
But I knew kind of like, for not being like a huge sports fan, like I like a good sports movie from time to time. That movie was just like literally the most boring sports movie. Because it was the same exact arc. It was like their draft manager who's like, he's coming up, but he wants to finally like field a good team. But the whole like, the thing in the movie, like the crux of it is just the draft.
Right.
So it's like a lot of dudes sitting in offices making phone calls.
There's no
and then
climax.
Like, yeah, and then like
there's no montage where they go and win the
Super Bowl. And then putting their hands on tables and being like, no, wait, he's gonna pick up that phone. Like those are the climactic moments in that movie. So like the arc is the same as like a decent sports movie.
Wasn't,
but just like,
wasn't that made by NFL Films?
I think so.
they had a hand in that.
I think the thing that bothered me the most about that movie was some of their like. Just kind of general, like, screen placement stuff, because they had, like, weird, like, cutoffs, like, shot by, just two people, different places. Then they would have, like, weird transitions, like, between the two, like, someone would literally walk from one to the other,
yeah, they would do a weird,
or, like,
weird
thing. Okay. It was just jarring.
Let's get creative.
Yeah, no, it was almost like, have you seen any of the, like, this is going to be a weird example, but have you seen any of the modern, like, Lego games? Where you can play split screen and like you'll be on the same screen until you walk so far away and then it'll
divide.
Yeah,
it was
they did like the opposite
like
of that.
That's
where you would have like two people in like different clearly different areas in like physical space and then they would like move through the scene and do that little walk and talk or whatever
and then they're together.
The same place.
There was
that sounds
time.
Like early 2000s era low
sure.
budget bad movie.
Like
there
that.
Was one time where like the main whoever he what I don't even know what he did the main guy of whoever. The one team.
The GM.
He was just
maybe.
Like,
it was the Browns.
Yeah, it was the Browns.
Yeah.
I was gonna make a comment about it when I get a chance.
But he was literally just like on the phone with multiple people and he is like literally just walking through all like he's not physically in any of these spaces. He's just walking through the panels. It was the weirdest thing.
Mm. Cool.
So it's like abstract.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Okay.
I don't mean that in a bad.
It was okay though.
I do.
Like it wasn't great, but it wasn't like incompetent. Yeah. Like it wasn't offensive and idiotic.
Sure, I mean, like
an Adam Sandler
a sports movie that takes the abstract, like, far beyond to a point of absurdity would be amazing.
Yeah, like, if you wanted to get nitpicky about it, like, the shittiest part of that movie is, like, the plot actually make any sense. Because they start with, like, they're proposing deals, and, like, he's talking to, like a guy in the Seahawks about, like, how would you like to trade for, like, your next three picks for, like, the next couple years for our number one pick. And they, like, do that deal, and then there's, like, four or five other times where he'll basically, like, call these people up again and, like, somehow magically Jedi mind trick them into, like, doing the exact thing that he wants them to do.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of happens for no reason.
Did you see Moneyball years ago?
I actually want to see Moneyball.
It does a lot of that, but it also takes that and shows how it plays out in the actual game.
See, that's a way better way to do it, because there's none of that. There's no football in this movie. No one plays football. No one even, like, throws a football.
I'm pretty sure there was no actual playing.
Combine footage or something.
There might have been reels.
Yeah, there are barely even people, like, that represent football players in the movie. Like, the most
it's just
of,
a bunch of agents walking around.
Yeah, exactly.
And some college kids.
The most of a football player you see in this movie is, there's a guy who, like, bitches on Twitter about how he's about to be traded, the draft guy calls him up and they have a phone conversation. He's like, "You shouldn't say this shit online. ESPN is fucking us over." There's no football in this football movie.
It's kind of telling because in actual football coverage, there's no football.
Right.
You cover the sport all year long.
You
but
guys
you only play it 16 weeks.
Like
year.
I said, it's not like a completely incompetent film. So you guys should watch it. And as people who are more football fans than us, let us know what you think.
The thing I had against it was I found out that the agent or the GM is from the Browns, and you're trying to tell me that it's a story about how you built a successful draft for the Browns. That has never happened.
The Browns have never drafted well ever.
I cannot believe that. He's just like Jedi mind tricking everyone. Like
it's
like
that's
a mastermind.
And then the subplot of the movie is how it's like this father and son struggle where he has to prove himself to his dad because his dad owns the team,
but
he's like the draft
man. His dad died.
Did he die in the movie? I think it was beforehand.
This could have been written by a bad computer program.
But anyway, yeah, his whole, like, when you get down to...
He was living up to his dad's legacy or something. And
sure.
Of course, he had family problems. Like, him and his mom and his, like, sister
go
were...
Go into his mind to make sure
like,
that the inheritance...
They wanted to put his ashes on the practice field, and he wouldn't
go off
to go with the rest of
the
team. He loved his dad. It was...
When you get down to, like, his core character motivation... Thank you. Words.
Whoa.
I knew you were going to say that.
It comes down to him being like, because he's fighting with the coach, he's fighting with his dad, the owner or whatever, and like all these other people.
His dad is dead.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, sure.
He's not fighting with his dad.
Yeah, saying like his legacy.
His dad anyway.
His legacy or whatever.
I don't.
More abstract.
I did not see his dad at all.
And then it comes down to just he has like his quiet moment.
Turns out his dad's dead in the end.
Spoiler.
He has this quiet moment and he's just like, just for once, I want my team. Like I want to be able to feel the team that I want. Like I don't want. So that's the thing.
Great.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about him.
I mean, I would honestly wonder if, like, NFL draft coaches or whatever, if that's, they even kind of care about that, or if it's just like, are they that invested in the game, or they probably just want the margins
most
to be right?
Most GMs are fired so quickly, they can only plan for a few years at a time, and
sure.
They definitely are not related to the owner.
Sure, yeah. Sure, sure. Because,
yeah,
I mean, like, I would guess that those
dad,
dudes...
I don't think his dad was the owner at
okay,
all.
Okay, okay, okay. Whatever. Some point, either we, us, or someone else will watch the movie and fact check us.
We'll see.
Fucking look at the Wikipedia.
Yeah, but anyway,
so watch Moneyball. I think it sounds a lot like this.
Yeah.
Only it's coherent.
No, I totally
want
to watch Moneyball. I just haven't had the chance to see it, but
it
I want to check
out
Moneyball.
Got a lot of the same pits.
Yep.
I see what you did there.
Beautiful.
You did it.
To talk briefly about an actually good movie that many people are talking about. I saw Birdman yesterday, and it's really, really good.
Cool. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's good. I really want to see Boyhood.
I've seen that as well.
Yeah, I want to.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
It's really long, and it's not super eventful.
Those are both things I would have assumed coming in.
Yeah.
You just, like, follow him around for, like, 20 years or
12.
Something? 12. Close enough.
It was shot, like, 1 week a year for 12 years.
Yeah, for 12 years.
Huh.
Yeesh.
It's an impressive feat, if nothing else.
They actually did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of the crazy things about it is that I think it's Patricia Arquette is the mom.
Yeah.
And she was, like, her career hasn't been that good, but for the past 12 years she's been doing this incredible performance.
Yeah.
So, wait, they cast his mom?
They cast everybody, like, all the principal, like, his mom, his dad,
all
him.
Of the actors
yeah.
stay the same
for the whole
thing.
Time. Huh. Yeah.
Weird.
It's a really cool, like, filmmaking experiment.
It's really, like, the most interesting plots are, like, his mom and his dad.
That's not... I thought it was more of an
experiment as opposed to, like, actually making a movie.
No, it's kind of like a narrative and stuff. Okay, like, it has a story.
The only thing I knew about the movie was just, like, the...
There haven't been enough superhero movies, which means none of us have all gone and seen a movie recently.
That's true.
So we should all go see a good movie sometime.
Sure. Avengers 2 is in 6 weeks.
We can see a movie before that. But yeah.
I don't even know what good movie there
be. I don't know.
Right now, I can't even think of a movie
that's out right now.
You can download a movie and watch it here.
Yeah. I mean, it's like March. Movies don't really come out in March.
Aside from, like, Blu-rays.
Sure.
That's when movies come out.
Straight to DVD.
No, even just, like, blockbusters from, like, the end of last year.
Nightcrawler was really good last year. That sounds like it's a superhero
I want to see it.
Jake Gyllenhaal's really, really good
in it. He's one of my favorite actors.
Hooray!
Jake Gyllenhaal seems like he's pretty good at
most
things.
He's good in just about everything.
He was okay in that Prince of Persia movie, for what it was.
That's like the only movie he has that I haven't seen.
I'm surprised he
hasn't. I saw it in the same way, I was in a hotel, and it was on, so I watched it.
We were gonna watch it while we watched
I remember
the Super
us talking about doing that, but it never came close to happening.
That movie's okay.
That's
like,
because
it's not terrible. It's like,
and we watched Watchmen instead.
If you can bring yourself to watch an adventure movie that's in the league of, like, that's in the league of, like, a national treasure, like, it's like that.
Okay.
It's just kind of a throwaway, like, okay, but not great, like, adventure film.
Yeah. The Mummy. First National Treasure is
The Mummy. Just the Mummy just, 1, though. Yeah, no, not the sequels.
Scorpion King.
The Mummy 1 is okay. That movie's alright.
That movie is okay, yeah.
And they're still to this day making Scorpion King movies somehow.
I don't believe that.
Really? They made one last year. The Rock is no longer involved. There's, like, a different wrestler or some other thing.
A different wrestler.
It might even be WWE Films. Like, don't quote me on that, but I believe it. But, I mean, there's a thick dude, and he's playing the Scorpion King. That character persists.
That's weird.
So.
That is really weird.
Thanks, movies.
They made a spinoff from the Mummy.
It's
still going on.
Remember,
didn't The Rock take over for Brendan Fraser in the, like, in some other franchise recently?
Maybe. I could totally believe that.
But I can't place what it is.
I could totally believe that. Also, Brendan Fraser's career is, like, dead, right? Like, what happened to him?
He probably got old.
I heard his name a couple weeks ago in the context of, like,
Where the fuck is Brendan Fraser? This is the first time I thought of him in years.
Is Brendan Fraser?
George of the Jungle? Is that where that is?
Yeah, I think it was.
Fucking Journey to the Center of the Earth was him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sure.
A horrible 3D movie.
Okay, yeah. Brendan Fraser. He's probably still alive. As far as I know, we haven't been told he's dead yet.
I'm sure someone would mention it.
I didn't watch the Oscars, but I'm assuming they would have eulogized him in, like, the slide reel if he was dead.
Maybe they just don't know yet. No one has checked in on
him. Nobody's seen him in so long.
Schrodinger's actor. He's alive. He has no defined state. Someday they'll make a Mummy 4, maybe. Probably.
Resurrect Brendan.
I don't think it would be Mummy 4. I think they'd reboot it at this point.
That would be weird, like, because it's just
Mummy Begins.
You could make another movie that, with a mummy in it.
It would just be a movie with a mummy and just taking the same brand awareness.
Sure.
Porting that over.
Woohoo!
Aren't we getting a new Independence Day?
Yes, that's
happening, right?
Independence Day 2.
It's an actual sequel.
Wow.
Oh. That's Jeff Goldblum, but
I knew
not
that.
Will Smith.
That's fine.
Is it Jaden Smith?
I doubt it.
Damn, no, definitely
be,
not.
No,
he's basically a piece of wood.
Oh, God.
Welcome back to Earth.
Welcome back to Earth. That'll be the best line ever.
I'm gonna make my own poster that has the
tag. Has anyone else, like, seen Jaden Smith's Twitter?
Oh, no.
Nope.
I think definitely not.
It is horrible garbage. Like, he's, like, Can I
ask you a question? Why have you seen it?
I've seen articles in relation to it with quotes.
Like a cracked or something?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That makes sense.
I think they were just kind of talking about him in one of his, like, shitty movies or something with his dad. And then they showed tweets from him on his... I'm like, what is happening? It's just, like pseudo-existentialism, like...
Cool.
Weird-ass crap. It's weird. No, I did not seek out his Twitter. I'd seek out, like, no one's Twitter. Twitter is strange. I don't get it.
I seek out the Twitter of certain athletes if I know that they're really bad.
Do you think
James
Smith's Twitter is better or worse than Shia LaBeouf's Twitter?
Worse.
Okay.
But not by much.
I showed this to Dustin yesterday when we were in waiting in the Atlanta airport. There is a Twitter that is just called, is Half-Life 3 out yet? And it'll just say no.
No.
Different variations of it, like, eight-ball style,
That's not, like, the first one of those.
No, yeah,
The earlier posts were pretty good, because they actually bothered to, like, make jokes. And these days, it just says no over and over again.
It's been going on since, like, 2012.
I'm sure they replaced it, like, the actual person.
Yeah, it's a bot now, I'm almost certain. Yeah.
Because it was, like, those early ones.
If you look at the first one, they did, like, a good probably year of, like, actual jokes that would be, like, a couple times a week. And then, yeah, now I'm assuming it's just, like, somebody wrote a script that says no every 6 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it when I read a little bit on it. Mm-hmm. What is Twitter?
What is Twitter?
I'm really not sure how that became...
Let's have a long conversation about what is Twitter.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. We're all older than 18.
Well, it's mostly just for, like, following celebrities at this point.
Yeah.
Don't understand the people who try to have, like, dialogues, quote-unquote, on Twitter, where they, like, exchange messages or have, like, these... Try to have these weird long-form conversations. Literally, the only thing Twitter is good for is if you want updates on someone who you're not, like, directly associated with.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to know what Neil deGrasse Tyson's up to, because he's a cool dude. Mm-hmm. But I don't need to, like, interface with him. Just, like, every once in a while, he'll say some, like...
I want him to know what I have
for breakfast.
That
he's going
to
be on or whatever. And, like, that might be a thing I want to check out.
Yeah, yeah.
An ex-girlfriend of mine, her, like, main mode of speaking to people was through Twitter. Always weirded me out.
That is the worst.
140 characters at a time, man.
I still don't get it.
Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right.
No.
Anyway, we talked about it enough about entertainment stuff, but I have to wrap this up with Parks and Rec ended awesomely.
Yes, I haven't seen it yet.
Good.
Okay, I won't say any details, but there are multiple...
I might watch the entire season tonight.
There are multiple jokes about what Shia LaBeouf is up to.
Good.
Couple episodes, and they're all pretty great.
Good.
The last episode especially is really good.
It is.
Yeah, go check that out. It's awesome.
The last season.
That's all we need to say.
I was thinking about it earlier in the podcast, and I was like, when they leave, I'm going to start watching Parks and Rec, finally.
Watch it.
It's the death of network comedy, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming we're back, like, the cycle starts anew. We'll be back to, like, studio, like, laugh track comedies, and then in 10 or 15 more years, we'll be back to, like, the single camera.
I have to plug something.
Okay.
So we were at lunch before we left. It was, like, the Friday before we went to GDC.
Mm-hmm.
We were at lunch with my friend Natalie, and she showed me someone... took, I don't know how many they've done, but they took, like, at least a snippet of an episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, boy.
And cut out all of the laugh track.
Mm-hmm.
And
anywhere
the laugh track was, they supplemented Titus's laugh from that horrible scene in Final Fantasy X. You just need to watch, like, maybe, like, a minute of it, but it's just, it's amazing.
It's gonna be okay. So that's the thing. That's what's up in entertainment.
Is there horrible, shitty jokes on that show?
Voice acting.
There aren't many things that could get me to watch anything related to Big Bang Theory, but I will watch this.
Watch that.
Because that sounds pretty funny.
It's like the, I think we've definitely talked about it before.
Garfield without bubbles.
No,
Remind us Garfield.
Either one. The thing you were going to say
Full House without Michelle.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that sounds funny,
They're
too.
They're all in the same vein.
It's so good.
So, yeah.
That's so much more meticulous. I can't believe that exists.
It's amazing.
I really want to watch that just because I bet I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that's
it's only, like, a minute or two. It's like the theme song.
Yeah, they don't even do full episodes.
Like,
they do, like, 2-minute chunks.
Okay.
It's still really good, though.
I should be writing all this stuff.
I know, right?
I'm an old man. I'm going to forget.
This will be up in a couple days, and you can scroll back through it and find all these ones.
Just write a tweet.
There you go.
Tweet
I'll
it.
I'll tweet it to myself.
Twitter.
Because that's how Twitter works, right? Tweet to myself.
Hashtag.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag, oh, what am I trying to remember?
Full house.
Hashtag, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang.
Hashtag, Final Fantasy 7-10.
I don't even need to know that part.
Okay.
I might be wrong about this, but I feel like I saw like an AV Up Club article or something where they said that they were actually going to bring Full House back.
Why? I think I remember
Why
seeing
not?
That, too.
So great.
I mean, now they brought the back time. Boy Meets awesome. World, kind
yeah,
of.
Nothing's off limits.
Nothing is sacred.
Can anyone at this table think of any one thing that they would actually like to have come back from that era?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's shit's trapped within a time.
I don't want this to come back, but it is coming back. Inspector Gadget.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. That definitely doesn't need
like,
that. Yeah.
Like the movie?
No, the cartoons. I think it's going to be
CG. Oh, yeah, it's CG now.
I watched a little bit of that. It was... All right.
It's got a catchy tune.
That's it, right?
I don't think that will be good.
Get your next eye gadget.
That's pretty good.
I would
that's
watch
not bad.
More
that's
Buffy.
Not bad
I would watch all more Buffy, but that's what the comic.
It's just a hand.
It's just a hand. Yeah.
And
an orchard
cat.
A cat.
Angry
cat.
Mm-hmm. Inspector Gadget.
Beautiful.
I hated that show, actually.
It wasn't good. Like, I didn't hate it, but it was not a good thing.
Even at that age, I couldn't appreciate the bumbling idiot who succeeded despite his own idiocy.
Sure. It's not a great, like, character
it's still,
trope.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, you're a little bit older than the rest of us, so maybe you spent a little more maturity.
I doubt it.
We're all, like, Kyle 2 years away.
Indeed.
Seasoned.
But yeah, not really. I can't really think of... much, if anything, from that era that I would, like, volunteer. Like, yeah, they should do that again.
Buffy. More Buffy.
That was a little more recent.
Yeah, much more than, like, more the early 90s, like, late 80s kind of...
I know it's still going on with the comics, but I want more Buffy.
It's gonna be okay.
Buffy. Have you guys played the Buffy card game yet?
A little bit. Like, we got through, like, a match...
I can't wait. Here's the thing I can't wait for. I can't wait to check out some of those video games. We've got one
yes,
of them.
Yes, we do. Which
I
is
bet they're
going
to be
cool,
awesome.
Do they add to the canon?
At least one of them does. Cool. The one that we have takes place within like the chronological like show story.
From what I've heard, the one we have is the best one. And it's like, it's
quote
a decent... No, I've heard, from what I read, it's a decent video game.
Sure. I mean, well, it's like, it'll be like a PS2 era beat-em-up, so yeah. At best these days, it'll probably just be...
yeah.
But I'm assuming the other ones are probably trash. From what I was, like, when we got... Because we just kind of picked it up, because we were watching the show at the time, and I did a little research
and it was like $6.
Back.
I was like, okay, that's stupid.
That's
bring it on.
Stupid. I have $6 for this.
It's true, I do.
And in researching
like
it, I found the other ones were just bad. Yep. Like, they're not even worth, like, checking out. But this one is a video game.
I was pretty disappointed that this is going to be triggers. So be careful.
Okay.
I was researching Silent Hill games. And it seems like all of them are bad. I really wanted to
like
them, but
wise,
I couldn't even find one that was highly rated and even remotely modern.
I agree with you. Like, the same people who... Like, Silent Hill games are better for that than, like, Resident Evil games. I think that the old Resident Evil games are completely indefensible.
I watched Carly play the first
Silent
two, and
Hill
I was like, I want to die.
Silent Hill at least plays on the tension a little better. Like, it's better at being scary. Like, old Resident Evil games aren't scary, and they're shitty. Like, no part of any Resident Evil game before 4 is good.
Kind of like B-movie-ish, aren't they?
I don't know what the real intent
is. That's how they come off now, but I'm not sure that was their intention.
That's how they come off now, and they play like garbage.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I have not played any of them.
I just like 10 minutes into Resident Evil run, and then like, screw this.
Y'all
terrible.
Don't need it in my life. It's just no good. Yeah, not awesome. Resident Evil 4 though. God
yeah,
damn.
I really enjoy that.
God damn that fucking game.
So I should play that again. I own it.
Leon S. Kennedy, save the prince's daughter.
Kid bad enough to save the prince's daughter.
Kid dude's heads off, and then the like, tentacle monsters come out of him.
Yeah.
And they curse at you in Spanish. And it's rad.
What are you buying?
That's probably the only thing I really like about that game is the merchant.
That's the best merchant in any game.
What are you selling? I'll buy it for a high price.
That's some voice acting. That's no ha ha ha. That man knew what he was doing. He was putting in the performance of a lifetime.
Right.
Hey, stranger. And you upgrade the hand cannon and you blow holes in everything forever.
Yep.
I always get magnums in games, and like all games now. I don't even know what it is. I just like the tiny gun that is.
PvP Destiny is the game for you right now.
I did like carry one around like religiously in Destiny, and that was always one of my go-to Borderlands guns. Like, I want the hand cannon. I want a really big revolver that hits really hard. Yep.
It was
bad. Two bullets. I don't care how many rounds it holds.
Right.
When I hit something, it dies.
That's not my like typical go-to weapon in games, but in Half-Life 2, the magnum was super satisfying.
Yeah, and the reload animation was awesome. It sounded good. Gordon Freeman knows how to load a revolver, I'll say that.
There was a new trailer for the Overwatch, I think it is, the Blizzard game,
mm-hmm.
and the character is a cowboy type, and he's just shooting a magnum for the entire thing.
Good.
It's like one-handed reloading it.
Cool.
Styling.
Much cooler than Sylvanas, who was just announced for that
That's
game.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I have to, like, I was only going to mention one video game thing, but now I think I have to mention two, just because this would be incredible. But did any of you guys see or read about the descriptions for the Valve VR system that they showed off at GDC?
I've heard
it
about it a little.
It is insane! It makes zero sense in terms of, like, a thing that you would use as a consumer product.
Uh-huh.
But some of the demos they were doing include, like, you get the headset, and they have this weird, like, prototype, like, two-handed, like, controller thing. And, like, part of it's, like, a belt, which they say won't be in the final product, but for the purposes of these demos, it was. And they fit you out with all this shit, and then they literally put you in a 15 by 15 square foot room.
Awesome.
And then you can interact within that much space, like in actual VR.
Jesus.
And it's insane! Like, they want to sell this to people to put in their home! Right. Like,
that's my game room, empty room.
You will literally, you will make your own community-style Imaginarium. You're just going to have a room with black walls and duct tape all over the place. This is where I go to be myself. To be in the world primarily me. But, I mean, like, they're selling this. They want to. And the only thing I could think was, like, because the people who were, like, experienced it, like, it's really cool, it's amazing. And I bet if you could do that, it would be awesome.
You could put that in, like, an arcade.
Right, but I mean, like, when the Kinect came out, and this is actually, like, you didn't have room to use that fucking thing.
And the
only thing it requires is, like, maybe, like, 2 to 3 feet of, like, horizontal space.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you have to be, you know, maybe 6 feet from your television.
Don't have a coffee table beneath
you.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, what is the possible context where you could use this thing? Like, as a... I don't know.
Play it in your yard.
God bless them for trying, for doing something so stupid. But, like... Oh, I can't believe... Oh, I don't know.
It'll further the technology.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming out this year, isn't it?
Really? Oh, I have no idea. I don't think they put a date on it.
No, I'm pretty sure they
maybe. I didn't read that closely until
the Oculus is this year.
Yeah, they claim the Oculus is this year, and all their other Steam Machine stuff is finally materializing. Stuff's imminent.
I think it might have been. I don't know if you finished the latest Giant Bombcast.
I didn't.
They were talking. It's like July or something.
The Valve thing?
Yeah!
Fucking A, alright. Like, and it's made by HTC.
Yes.
Which kind of doesn't mean anything, but like, they make cell phones.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's weird that they're doing this. Anyway.
What was their price point on it?
I have no idea.
I don't know if there is one yet.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know about dates or prices. So
I'm pretty sure that
there
that
might
one
be both out there.
Like,
but
it's
I haven't.
Like,
will it be high enough resolution that it doesn't give you headaches like the Rift prototype?
It's still only like, I think the one that they were showing off is still only like 1080p, but they claimed that it wasn't that bad. Like the screen door wasn't that harsh.
It's a lot better than the
Oculus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the final Oculus one, I think, probably will be like the 2048 by 1440. Yeah, because they're basically, like, I think their, like, most internal, like, their newest internal prototype is that resolution, because it's literally just one of those Samsung panels.
Okay.
They're basically just sourcing, like, I think it's Galaxy Note 3 displays, and that's what's in those headsets now. So,
did you see that Samsung came out with a VR headset that you just put a Galaxy Note 3 in?
And it uses the Oculus Optics. Like, yeah. they made that really deal.
Funny. Okay. Huh.
So it's like the part where the lenses are, that's an Oculus provided technology.
Okay.
And then, yeah, you just choke your Samsung phone into it and hold it up to your face and you're in VR now. Yes!
The future is awesome, guys.
Yeah, there's somebody that did have one of those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yep.
Like
anyway,
I can't believe
this finder.
This actually will. This actually will segue into the last thing that I want to talk about perfectly, because of
peripheral.
Because yeah, because we are at virtual reality critical mass.
Yeah,
there are like
no kidding.
A dozen different like VR systems in some form of development at this point.
Everybody's
and
doing
so the market's already oversaturated before any of these things are even out. Yeah.
I kind of want to see it explode.
You shouldn't have to wait.
I hope it becomes, right. I hope it becomes a thing. I hope something lands.
One of them needs to work. It'll standardize at some point.
Yeah, I hope the dust settles and something survives, which I would guess would be the Oculus, because they were kind of the first of this wave of VR.
Kind of what I predict is that there'll be a like virtual reality headset that functions as a display.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be another one, like the Microsoft one or something, that functions as, like, a user experience or, like,
right.
whatever.
That sounds likely.
Yeah.
I just hope there's a standard. Like, there really doesn't... You should not have to get...
That's the thing. Like, I bet there won't be. I bet other products will die off before they, like, come together and
No, I mean, like, I hope that all of these, like, thousands of different VR headsets, like... Either, like, one succeeds.
That's the thing that will happen,
like,
I bet.
That better happen. Yeah. If there's, like, at least three different ones, and you need all of them to, like, maybe get experience anything that's out, it'll be, like, the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet that there will be, like, one or two things left standing before there is, like, well, we're going to come together and make, like, a set of, like, USB-style standards where, like, this is how they'll all work, and like kind of like software went for one, war for the other ones. I don't think people are going to come together and make those deals.
Probably
not Facebook,
right?
Or Valve.
This is probably the only time I'll ever reference XKCD.
Okay, here we go.
Tissue's all right. At least it has been historically. I don't know if they've gone down in quality over the years.
One of my friends sent me a thing the other day that was like, there are 15 standards for this product, and then it's, the second panel is like two engineers and like, we need to standardize, like this is way too much, and there are 16 standards.
Yep. That's accurate. Yeah. I would say that is true.
So you kind of just have to wait for different things to die off.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
I hope the bubble bursts.
Oh, but anyway.
I want to watch the world burn.
Speaking of bubbles bursting, Rock Band 4 is coming out this year.
Rebuild the bubble.
Great, pop it all over again.
That's right. It's like
if Activision announces a Guitar Hero game at E3, I will literally shit my pants. That's what will happen. Robbie Coding was like, no, fuck you.
Yes, the game is on. We're back in.
You can use it with the Tony Hawk fucking skateboard controller. That's what Guitar Hero 7 is. Oh my god. Yeah, Rock Band 4 is coming out. I loved Rock Band back in the day.
Yes, you did.
And Harmonix continues to, like, I don't know who they know at, like, Microsoft and Sony, like, how they pull this shit off, but, so the exciting parts about this are, like, well, first of all, there's a new game. There's only gonna be one. They're like, we're not gonna release, like, annual sequels or any of that shit. Like, this is the game until there are new consoles. So that
good.
They're starting off right there.
Digitally, give all the
content. It'll work with all the old hardware, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they're wrangling, like...
drivers.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm astonished that, Sony and Microsoft will give them the time of day to allow them to do this, basically.
Well, that's not a new thing for Sony.
I guess that's true, because you can use the PS3, like,
the Skullgirls developers came up with, like...
So, yeah, that...
Drivers.
Microsoft, I guess, more than anything, again, because they're real shitty about, like... controller stuff in general. Like, even on the Xbox 360, before there were, like, different eras of the consoles, they were notoriously hard to work with, as far as I heard, when it came to people wanting to make, like, fight sticks or other weird, like, you had to jump through a lot of loopholes to get at their, like, proprietary controller standards, but... So, yeah, everything persists on the platform that you were on. So if you had a PlayStation, like a PS3 and a Rock Band setup, all your old hardware will work. Most of your songs will transfer, like, all the DLC you bought works.
Cool.
They say about, like, 95% of the, like, 3,000-something song catalog will be, like, will transfer over to the new game.
Okay.
I'm surprised they still have the licenses for all that.
Well, I guess they're re-upping a lot of them, so I have no idea how that works, like, on their end legally, but...
Somebody's got deep pockets.
Because over the years, as time has gone on and they haven't, like, maintained the games, like, DLC will disappear periodically from the store. It's just like, we ran out, the contract is up on this, so now you can't download
this
anymore.
If they're just gonna, like, honor your purchase. Like, they might not even, like, some of the stuff they might not
re-release.
Sell. Yeah.
They might be able to transfer the content but not sell it again.
Sure. That might actually, it'll be interesting if that happens to a lot of those songs.
Yeah.
But in the press release, it does say that they want most of it to, like, be available for new purchases
too.
Cool. Cause I guess in their minds, obviously, that's part of, like, if you get new people in, here's like 10,000 things you can buy. Here's so many more ways we can make more money.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's certainly a benefit for them to... and then other than that, there were some other weird stuff. Most of it's just about, like, design stuff. Like, they're stripping out a lot of the weird, like, the late game stuff where they did, like, pro instruments where they tried to teach you how to, like, actually play guitars and they had the keyboard controller.
Right.
All that stuff gone.
I didn't know
which is good. It's for the benefit of that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they needed to slim some stuff out. I think they're removing, like, online play and stuff like that, too. They're cutting stuff where it makes sense. Like...
It's party game.
Yeah, there was some, like, legit crazy feature creep as those games, like, progressed from 1 to 2 to 3.
Well, you have to convince somebody to buy every year
or whatever.
So,
yeah, I think it's cool that they're bringing this shit back. Like, I don't know. I love this game specifically more than most.
I've got, like, $30 or $40 worth of songs on some old Xbox Live account.
Account somewhere.
I have no idea what the name or password
was.
I'm probably never going to find it.
How many songs you have?
It's like 700 or 800.
Yeah.
It's not quite.
But I bet you have access to most of those.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have them all on a big... In fact, like, a couple of months ago, I was toying with the... Like, I was importing the customs, like, the stuff that people have been releasing on their own since the game was no longer supported on. And I pulled some of that stuff into the game and booted up for a couple hours just to try it out, but...
Yep.
Yeah, that's super neat. You were there. You experienced it.
I was there.
Yeah, I'm glad. And it's interesting. Like, I hope it does okay. Obviously, we'll find out.
I bet it'll do fine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people I know who are kind of casual gamers... Whenever I ask them if they want to hang out and play games, they're like, do you have Guitar Hero? Even still?
Sure.
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess they're still, like, this is the thing that I didn't think they'd do, but I guess they're still going to have a, like, retail presence, like, slightly less this time than originally, but they're still going to do, like, a game by itself and a game plus guitar bundle and, like, a bundle with everything.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in stores. I figured they would only sell this shit online.
Yeah.
Like, I figured, like, you want it, go on the internet or, like, pre-order it physically at GameStop and then get as many as are pre-ordered and then, like, that's how you'll get them. But, so, I mean...
It's a hard sell for the big box retailers to put that big box
on the
shelf.
And that was among
somewhere.
The many reasons why they had to stop making these games originally.
Yeah.
But I guess they're still going to do that to some extent, which is good. And they also said they're not making, like, any of the millions of, like... They're not getting into, other accessory licensing, basically. So you won't be able to buy, like, a guitar bag or a drum holster or, like, any of that fucking horseshit.
Right. Damn it.
Yeah. But basically, it's, like, if you read, like, some of the interviews and articles and stuff, it sounds like they're doing everything possible that they could be doing... To relaunch this thing correctly.
Yeah.
So, at this point, it'll just be, like, will they make something that's not, like, bug-free and doesn't crash? And then, once that comes out, will people be into it to buy through it, like, enough so that it'll be a successful product?
It'll run properly by the second DLC.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Correct answers are back up, but I'm excited. It's coming out before the end of the year. So that's my thing that I'm stoked about.
We're going to have those drums set up again.
I got mine, too. We can drum out.
I don't think you guys ever played on the setup that we had in our garage.
No, I've seen it.
I've never played on it. Yeah, we're going to do that at some point. It's pretty good.
It's in the way
of what?
Living space.
I don't think it'll be a problem by the time this game comes out. So not because of the game, because I think our living space situation will have slightly shifted by that point.
I guess.
is this the first thing? Is this the one?
Right. You know what?
Is this our
my living situation, maybe.
Is this our sitcom moment? I'm like, I think you're bringing those drums into my kitchen.
Not the fucking kitchen.
Dustin, watch it. This whole...
No, I just mean the basement.
Okay.
There's
yeah.
not a lot of room down there.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. Okay.
That's fine. That's what I was talking about.
I just wanted to have like an I Love Lucy 1950s sitcom moment. Like, I want to see you with a rolling pin.
Oh. Do I need like a spotted apron? Is
sure, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And like just like a big like a
hair and like
plaid dress.
Yeah, exactly. Hair like up in like the bobby pins.
Rollers.
Just, like,
right. No rollers. Come
okay,
on.
Sure.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, like you said, apron or maybe a robe.
Ankle length.
Yes, a robe with dead slippers.
20 slippers.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep the internet updated if that's what it comes to. Oh, good shit.
Hashtag save the drums. Yep.
In all honesty, though, like I said, I wanted to maybe do that Rock Band setup, like, for the wedding reception anyway. Maybe this will be out before then.
Maybe.
It'll be out this year. Historically, they release these games in, like, late September, so that would line up.
Right.
If not,
you're going to be pushing it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Waiting in line the night before.
Something like that. Yep.
My wedding is in 6 hours.
Open up! My bachelor party is in line. And he's waiting for Rock Band 4.
But I won't be there.
I will help organize.
You guys should just do... I don't care if it doesn't come out. Your bachelor party should just be waiting in line in the GameStop.
We'll be on Amiibo wave like 7 at that point.
Okay,
so
sounds
we'll be
good.
Camped out in front of the TRU.
Multi-purpose.
Dark pit.
Yeah, exactly.
Who else? Let me think of
some. Ganondorf Amiibos aren't going to buy us.
There you go. Ganondorf.
Duck Hunt.
Yes.
Rob the Robot.
Yes.
Give me the Watch.
Yes.
The possibilities are endless.
That is, I can guarantee they're like at least 5 weeks away. If Ness is just. Ness is like top tier of like C tier like characters of like Nintendo's care.
Falls off pretty quickly.
He's up there because people still, like, rabidly care about, like, the Earthbound games, but they don't.
Weird corners of the internet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's all I got.
I have a healthy dose
of
exhaustion.
Yeah, we're still tired. I'm going to go sleep for, like, the next 6 months.
We're going to go download a DBZ game and get ready.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
advertise that.
Yeah, so that's the last thing we should
that.
Do, and then we can wrap up. You're right. Thank you for saving it.
Yeah.
I am tired enough that I was going to completely forget about it. So this, what day is that? The 15th?
This is
Sunday.
A week from today.
Next Sunday.
Yeah, it's
the
15th,
I think.
Yes.
Yes,
today's
okay.
Day.
Right. So Sunday, March 15th, we're going to be streaming out, which game is it?
Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3.
Yeah, we're going to be foraying into our first attempt at streaming out video games. By this cost, that will be... Dragon Ball Z, Budokai Tenkaichi 3.
Right.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Okay.
To try and explain what this coincides with the brackets being announced for the March Madness NCAA tournament, the college tournament. So, for some reason that's more legend than truth at this point, we just have a tournament of Dragon Ball Z characters roughly seated to the equivalents of the 1 through 64,
mm-hmm.
Each one representing a school in the tournament.
Based on strength of character.
Nebulous argument.
So the strongest DBZ character is Duke.
They'll be the one seed, and they'll go up against, you know,
Master
Tennessee
Roshi.
Pentecostal bridal parties or whatever they're called.
Anyway.
It's evolved into madness.
Yeah.
So I mean, Kyle summed it up. It's pretty fucking funny.
It's CPU versus CPU.
We're not going to play the game. We're just there to watch.
Watch computers play 10-year-old Dragon Ball games.
Exactly. Much like the EA like Madden simulation before the Super Bowl. We just set the thing up and then let it go. We'll see how it all
is
shakes out.
Is there like actually a tournament mode?
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Oh, wait,
no, we have to do everything by hand.
Oh,
no, it's great that way.
Good.
And we haven't really talked about this yet, but we'll have to have like a selection process, which may or may not we'll stream. I don't know.
We'll see.
Or we don't do dumb things like argue about who would win between Yamcha and Captain Ginyu in a fight.
Yeah, maybe it'll be up like
if Raditz is a 6 seed, should Chaozu, should he be an 8 seed or a 7 seed? Dumb crap that
the internet would care.
Right. For anyone that knows us, we don't really care about these things.
Nope.
But for some reason, this day of the year, we go crazy over this dumb computer simulation.
This is also like the 6th annual minus that 1 year that we forgot.
We haven't done it every year, but we've done it many, many years over the last 10 years.
Yep, so we'll be doing that. It'll probably be funny. It definitely will be stupid.
It'll be really weird.
It's much more interesting than it seems, I promise.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll put that up. We'll see what happens. I would guess, like Kyle said, we'll see about how much we stream. I wouldn't be surprised if we did some of the debate process just to make sure that everything's working.
Yeah.
We
got to set up the brackets.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll definitely have a period where we set up the brackets, whether we stream it or not. Mm-hmm. And then we don't really have a time yet. I would guess maybe, 7:30 or 8 p.m.
Right.
Yeah. We'll actually start the tournament.
And it'll probably take about 2-3 hours.
Sure. Yeah. Because you said the bracket turnouts are around then, right?
Yeah, so basically, I'm not sure exactly.
When they put that stuff up, that's when we'll be setting this off.
And ideally, when it's all over, you can take the model predictions of the simulation and put them into your office bracket pool.
And come in last.
Yeah, exactly.
The goal is to not come in last.
Yeah, if you don't come in last, someone you work with is functionally not.
Or we just had a really good year.
Yep. That's never happened.
We've had some really good predictions out of this before.
Extraordinarily terrible ones.
Good.
So that'll be happening. We'll be doing that on Twitch, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably
I don't have a channel for it yet.
Yeah, I made a channel. Okay, so we'll be on the channel that it corresponds with our YouTube channel that we still haven't really done yet, but we'll be on the Power Mitten Collective Twitch channel.
Yeah!
Stuck with the name.
That's a callback.
Yeah, I know, right? Only did that 6 months ago and then haven't done anything with it since.
Yep.
So check that out. That's where we'll be doing that, and hopefully more stupid shit like it in the future.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's gonna do it.
Good.
So I'll probably post a link to the Twitch channel either within this episode or on Twitter, our website or something. We'll share it out a little bit.
Yeah, we'll just see some ads.
Yep, that's right. And that's gonna do it. So either stay tuned after this for me and Lorraine talking about GDC a little bit, or it'll be a separate episode. You'll find out when this one didn't end up being short. Yeah, exactly. not short at all, it turns out. We got too into talking about stuff, so. Alright, that's gonna do it.
I blame consumer electronics.
Good. I love you guys. You guys are the best. Yeah, I do love consumer electronics. You're not wrong.
We got off the rails.
Yep.
I think it's better that way.
As per you.
For myself, Lorraine, Doug, Phil, Kyle, and the Microsoft kin, we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Hey there, we're back.
Hello.
It's just me and Lorraine here for the moment. It's
so lonely.
I know, just so empty. So this is kind of our second little wrap-up where we thought we'd just take a few minutes to go over some of the other stuff we saw at GDC. Maybe sum up our experience a little tiny bit more, and then also just kind of give shout-outs to some of the other really cool things we saw while we were out in San Francisco.
Small area of GDC we were actually able to see while being tethered to our booth.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, the setup was real weird, just a different kind of show-going experience. We had never really done a convention, certainly of that scope.
No.
and it was just the two of us from, setup to teardown to everything in between. Mm-hmm. So we were pretty confined to a good, I don't know, let's say 20 to 30 feet of the show floor for most of the show.
You at least got to explore a little bit while going on your reconnaissance missions to different publishers.
Ever so slightly. Tiny bit.
I sometimes did some water bottle refill runs, but that was literally just kind of down the hall.
Bathroom break, liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Back to demos.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, what kind of stuff did you want to talk about?
I don't know. I figured we could at least just kind of start with the beginning. I think we at least kind of covered our travel catastrophes.
A little bit, yeah. I think enough that people got the gist of it.
Horrible layovers, switching planes, missing a flight, basically losing more of an entire day than we were kind of gaining with the 3 hours.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And just being exhausted. And Monday just kind of was travel hell day.
Mm-hmm. Still tired to this day, by the way.
Oh,
hopefully reclaim it by the end of this week.
I don't know what it was, if it was just either all of the flying, the just the constant on during the convention or the 4 hours we lost over the course of Saturday and daylight savings time.
I think it's probably been all of it, but, like a combination of all like that stuff and just like it's, I think it's kind of like how we always like when the other guys are on and we talk about card games and stuff, it's just like, I don't know about you, but my brain still hasn't really shut down since we like got back or whatever. Like it's still just constantly going and it takes more out of you than you realize.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm getting there. I've forced myself back into my daily routine of getting up and working out for a good hour, which I think is kind of helping. That at least wakes me up a little bit, even though I've been like dragging myself out of bed.
You're doing it. Slowly but surely working your way back to being a human again.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, so kind of like you said, got the travel stuff out of the way, finally got to San Francisco, got to the show on Tuesday. Yep.
And we mainly did on Tuesday was we picked up our badges, we set up, which was a good hour or so at first, getting all of our stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say probably like if you summed it all up, that was probably like a 3 hour almost. Like
I don't even know.
From by the time we were actually done, like it took a while.
It did take a while. I mean, it was just the two of us, and we didn't actually have that much to set up. I don't know if anyone listening to this saw. I think we posted at least one picture of the
There's
setup
one on Twitter
on
or something this, at least, on, and I think on the Kickstarter page and maybe Facebook too. Yeah,
we just had like a back beam thing with our three banners on it.
Getting all the computers working, making sure that their hardware wasn't broken.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had all the right HDMI adapters, yes. So that worked out.
And then we just kind of hung out, talked around with some of the people who were there setting up too, and that which we can get into mm-hmm. more later. I was just going to keep going. Then we had a meetup kind of type party, maybe, that we were going to later in the day. So we stayed in the city and got to check out, like, the only thing we could check out in the West Hall, which was the Indie Mega Booth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still cool. Still mm-hmm. lots of crazy stuff.
It was definitely a lot more fleshed out than last year. Because last year there was literally just tables, like a small little cocktail table, mm-hmm. a computer, and that was it. But this year they had, like, some beanbag chairs where you could go and just kind of chill. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be bigger tables / more tables, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so. There were definitely more of them.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, too, I think. Like, I guess to a sense, it was also a little... I don't know. The last year's setup was almost a little more personal. Like, this was more corporate this year.
Oh, yes, it definitely was.
Fucking Intel shit all over everything.
Everything
so.
Had a... Like, there was, like, a little dumb, like, standee that was like, Intel!
When we first got there, I thought... I can't even remember what the little tagline was for their fucking marketing push or whatever, but, like, they had these giant cardboard, like, things, like, basically cardboard frames taped around each of the monitors. They said, like, Discover on them or some shit.
Yeah,
whatever the Intel tagline of the weekend was. And when we first got there, the first, like, monitor we looked at, I was like, oh, what's this game called Discover? No, it's just, like, marketing crap.
I got so confused.
Yeah, relative to, like, the games had their own little placards for, like... Like, they were there if you looked for them, but they were, like, the text wasn't very pronounced, and, yeah, it was just kind of, like, you had to keep your eye open
to... Yeah,
you
had to, like, look to really find... And it also didn't help that the place was really crowded.
Yeah.
So, like, people around the monitor, so it was really hard to see anything other than the dumb Intel text.
Yeah, we hit it just, like, I think it was around lunchtime or little after, so it was probably a really bad time to stop by there to look at stuff, but...
That was the only shot
that was the
we really
moment we had, so...
We did play one thing there, which was Extreme Exorcism,
mm-hmm.
which is another, just, it's a different play on the kind of local multiplayer, kind of samurai gunny almost.
Right, couch co-op, couch competitive. Yeah. Like, we played the competitive mode, but I guess you could play cooperatively against, like, computers or something, too.
It was just kind of a four-person, like, single-screen fighter where, like, you don't start out with an item and you just pick up a bunch of different weapons, and each time, like, the round will end when... Three of the four, or however many, when there's one person left, and then the next round, like, you play until, I think at least our mode, it was play until you've won a round, like, five times or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, like, unique thing was that with each subsequent round, anyone who died, was it anyone who died, or was it the one who won? I think it was the person who won got a ghost that patterned like their movement from the last round. So as you, if you won like three rounds in a row, there would be three different
ghost of you. Yeah,
kind
of like
exactly what you did that round, regardless of if someone's around you or not.
Super Time Force, sort of like that. Where it's like you've,
but it more would make to a detriment.
Kind
of. Whereas Super Time Force uses it for like beating a boss super fast or solving some weird, like, puzzling sequence in a cool way.
Sure.
This was just kind of, like, adding more chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it was interesting. There were, like, we didn't really play it for long enough for me to get a sense of, like, we played it for, like, a one round with two other people. Like, it seemed, like, well put together. There might have been some weirdness. Like, it bummed me out a little that you didn't have any kind of default attack when you spawned in. So if
someone ran in, because there's only, like, I think it only spawned either two or three weapons to start, and then it kind of kept cycling through them as the match went on.
Yeah,
so if you just got screwed right off, you'd just die.
And the other thing that bummed me out about that is that you couldn't pick up, like, you could pick up multiple weapons, so if somehow you got lucky enough to just grab everything,
just
then, like, everyone else is fucked,
else
and then
is
you just
dead.
Roll everyone until they die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I didn't really get a sense for, like, we didn't get to play it long enough for me to get a real sense of how the weapon balance worked, like, if most of them were useful. Like, the one I kept getting that I'm not sure what it actually was supposed to do is, like, you would get a little orb around you and, like, glow angel wings and float for a little bit.
Yeah, they were, that was, like, so the guy who was demoing it, who may have been the full one guy, he was the only guy we saw there, and his business card was on the table. He said that, like, it destroys any ghosts that fall in that, so it's, like, that's the only way to actually get rid of those is with that item, and I think it just killed people if they stood in it.
Okay. Interesting.
Which was, and you could kind of control it, like, you could slowly move, but it was mainly just, like, a large circle that took up maybe, like, a sixth of the screen.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we got to play that for a tiny bit, didn't get to experience that much, and like Lorraine said, the other thing that was, like, a little bit of a bummer about the Mega Booth stuff, but I think it was mostly due to the time we were there, is that, like, there were people everywhere, and they were, like, the folks at the respective tables were kind of just churning folks out. Like, I would have liked to maybe stay a little while and talk to that dude.
That was a really cool
thing about
last year.
Ask him a couple more questions or something.
I don't even remember it being that busy, though, last year. Maybe it was just the way it was set up or something, because even when it was, like, super busy, like, we stayed and talked with Samantha...
Coleman
of Centrist, because I think that was the first time we had seen it last year, and now is it released now on Steam?
It's in early access, still. I don't think it's like a final like 1.0 or higher build, but
and I mean
you can definitely like pay for it and play it.
Because we were also talking with other people who were just kind of experiencing the game, but we were at her booth for a long time.
Yeah, we got to, like you said, we got to talk with her and kind of some of the other people giving demos. It was a little more chill. And it was, like, it was probably both. Like, it was probably, like, that space was just less busy last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were, like, not at the peak of, like, a...
But we went back a few times, though.
Sure.
We talked with the Tetrapolis guys. They were really cool. Hung out with them for a while. I'm trying to think of some of the other games last year.
There was that thing.
Air Escape? The one with the squid?
Air Escape, I believe.
I can never remember how it is.
Something.
It's made in Construct 2, and that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. There's that one thing that was basically like a prototype, but it was like Mega Man Battle Network.
But yeah, the only reason I hadn't said that was just because like we didn't actually talk with the creator. I have no idea where he was. We were just talking with some random guy in front.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was last GDC. Yeah. That's the past.
I do wish we could have, like, at least looked at more of the games there. It was just kind of impossible due to the time. The only thing I remember seeing was Mushroom 11, which we also saw at Indiecade East.
That thing still looks neat, like, for what it is. I'm not sure if it's, like, a thing that I'm super into.
Yeah, it's kind of a, like, a puzzle-y game almost, because you've got this kind of, like, blob, and you don't really control it. You're just kind of, like, pushing it, and it, like, kind of forms to the environment, so you can like push it through really thin tubes and
You may
just trying to move it around an environment to get to like a goal. I think.
Yeah, and like you said, you basically have like a large, like a fairly large circular cursor on screen, as far as I can tell. So you're like you said, you're kind of like smushing this mush, like through or around different areas, trying to get from point A to point B. So it's kind of like a weird abstract puzzle platformer almost, but. Like, it looks neat for what it is.
The aesthetic is really cool. I like the all different effects they've gotten there. Like,
yeah, it's good looking. I would like to try it.
Blob is just kind of like glowy and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I would like to try it at some point, but that kind of game also stinks to me of a game that's not great in, like, a demo setting.
Yeah.
Like, play it for 15 minutes and then just walk away. Like, it's a thing I would feel like I'd rather have, like, an hour or two to kind of digest it and, like, more slowly understand, like, how it actually functions.
Yeah, for sure.
But that looks neat, for like I said, from a distance, so check that out.
And I swear I've seen it somewhere before, IndieKitties, but I just can't.
I should have Googled it. I felt like it might have been in like the IGF or something last year.
That's what I thought.
I could be wrong about that. I might have just made that up.
I saw it at GDC last year, but I know it wasn't in the Mega Booth.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So that was neat.
So then, let me try to think. We just kind of explored did a little actual like sightseeing of San Francisco. The only time we had on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Walked down to the big fancy port building. Watched a ferry come. And maybe, I don't remember if it left. There was a million people in line for it. We watched pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
There was a forest full of horrible bird noises.
Yep. Like, I think we had talked with Phil off the show the other day, just like, San Francisco is a pretty good city to just wander around in.
Mm-hmm.
If you literally just want to pick a direction and walk a couple blocks, you'll probably see something neat.
Yeah. Last year we went through most of Chinatown to get to Ghirardelli Square, which was really neat. We saw Fisherman's Wharf last year, which was cool.
Saw a bunch of dehydrated fish parts and awesome cool stuff that they sell at Chinese bodegas or what have you.
Gross.
You're cute.
And then, because that was a decent chunk of time there and back. And then stopped in the Metreon. Is that the mall?
Yes. For pizza?
Like,
was that night?
And just kind of a chill, like a refresh after all that walking. And then
saw some guys playing Netrunner behind us. I had to figure out what card game they were playing. I saw stacks of cards and colorful sleeves.
Right.
And I had to peer. I had to crane my neck over. I had to know. So, yeah, there were like 5 or 6 dudes playing Netrunner, which was pretty funny.
And then we went over to Jammers? Is that what that
I think that's
called?
What the bar was called.
For the Midwest Game Developers Meetup, the third annual one.
Yeah, apparently. Which was cool, but quickly became a nightmare.
Because I guess this was, it was the third year and the biggest they'd had. Because I guess the first year we had heard from some other people was like maybe 10, 15 people. The second year was maybe around 40. This year it was like 200.
Yeah, that's
and
how many
we
people.
Had the loft rented, which was like a maybe. It's smaller than the size of the very small room we're in now. And it quickly became like literally wall to wall people, which was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a little crazy. Like, they probably could have realistically fit like 20 or 25 people there. And like you said, 200 or something like replied as going on the Facebook. On the Facebook invite, and I bet there were about 100 people there for that thing specifically. So
maybe
it was pretty nuts.
In and out.
Yeah, and like it kind of like became literally like wall to wall, like a kind of dive concert or something, where it's just like bodies upon bodies, and then
no one was dancing, everyone was talking business,
right?
So you know, rager.
Yeah, and then ultimately like even spilled out into the street and stuff where people were just kind of like congregating on the sidewalk.
The first floor of the bar was pretty much like there was some regular patrons in there too.
Yeah. Like. So I mean, thanks to everybody who we did get a chance to talk to. Like we showed up a little earlier. It was much better early on when there were less people because we did actually have a couple good conversations. And we had good experiences with everybody we kind of met and like chatted with there, but after a certain point of the night, between like the amount of people and like the music, it was just impossible to like communicate anymore at that point.
Because when we had gotten there, the music was very loud and there was quite a din, and so it was very hard. It was even at first before the floods of people came in, it was still kind of hard to carry a conversation, and that just got exponentially worse as the evening went on.
Yep.
And then hopped back on the BART. Went back to our hotel and got ready for our first day of the show.
That's true. Got up bright and early-ish. Pretty early, like 7 o'clock or something like
7:30.
That.
7:30. That's when my alarm went off.
That's not late.
Nope.
Went off the show, started doing demos. Pretty good weekend, or week, I guess. I kept saying weekend there, too, even though it technically takes place, like, the show floor is Wednesday through Friday, so I guess it just forced a habit.
Not the weekend. I mean, we'll take for all the other shows we've done have been.
It's like everything ever is weekends, except like I think E3 is that way too. Actually, like it's during the week.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know why. Whatever. but yeah, it was a good show. Like, we didn't, like I said, we didn't really know what to expect other than it would be different than some of the other stuff we'd done before. Had, like, a fair number of people, like, trying to sell stuff, which I kind of expected based on the volume of emails we got with offers and stuff beforehand. Most of them were still, like, pretty polite. A few, not so much, but it wasn't, like, a deal breaker. They weren't, like, the defining aspect of the show. And then we did a lot of good demos.
Game Maker guy is never going to... Honestly, it's not even, like, game. I know I kind of went off on this in the other podcast, but it's not even the fact that if a Unity representative came to me and was shoving Unity down my throat and I was using something else, I would have the same negative experience. Like, that is not how you get someone to use your product. I'm probably never going to use GameMaker because of that now, because of that just ridiculous. Like, this guy was so pushy. Like, he was basically belittling me for not using his product. And it's just, like, basic, kind of, like, just kind of pushing my, like, my kind of work ethic and flow to the side because I'm not using his amazing optimal thing and just...
I'll tell you the best thing you can do.
Forget about it?
Yep.
I know.
Never mention it again, and then that's the most damage you can do to them is not mention their thing.
I destroyed the business card yesterday, so I'm never going to see it again. That's what I was ripping in half and peeling the plastic off of because it was, like, weirdly half-laminated.
Sure. It's unfortunate because I've actually heard that GameMaker is a pretty good tool.
So have I, but it's just kind of like...
But I know what you mean. It's just like...
Stop.
I don't know. I mean, that kind of sales tactic must work on someone because people keep doing it. Like, people who sell stuff, like, there's a subset of them who will do the hard sell 110% of the time. So, I mean,
and that's,
if
like, the most off-putting sell to me.
Yeah.
Unless that hard sell is, like, very passionate. Like, you're, like, just excited. You know, you're not trying to, like, make the sale for the money. You're trying because you're passionate about it. Like, that's fine. But when you're, like, just basically, like, belittling the person because they're not using it, no, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
So, yeah, stuff.
Aha! But that was, like...
And then just comes back to, like, the whole, like, all those reveals over that week of, like, Unreal went free, and then, like, Unity is free.
Unity,
like, I think, yeah, I think it's freer.
Out.
Like, you can use more of it now without paying money.
Yeah,
like,
the pro license.
Yeah, until you hit, like, a higher revenue cap or whatever.
Which is basically kind of what Unreal does anyway, right?
Yeah, something
or at
like
least
that.
Pre-subscription. Wasn't that kind of more, kind of what, I don't remember that much.
I think UDK was like that.
UDK, that's probably right.
Yeah, where you could, like, be under, like, 30 or 40 grand or something and not owe them anything.
And then once you got there, it was just kind of like
pay, like, some percentage, I forget. Some,
yeah.
But yeah, though, like, the war of the thing you make a game in is kind of ludicrous. Like, it doesn't really matter.
No.
None of that stuff. Like, the behind the the behind the scenes thing doesn't make a difference. Like, the only thing that matters is how the final product feels. Like, if you're satisfied with the thing at the end of the road, so...
And if you're
either,
not, like, killing yourself getting there.
Right, either use the thing that, like, you feel most comfortable with, or, like, that seems, like, the easiest to create the thing you want to make
your,
in.
Like, skill level.
Or that maybe meet some, like...
Time management.
Sure, maybe meet some specific business needs. Like, you have to be on, like, certain platforms, and, you know, one engine or whatever supports them over another one. Like, just don't make a big deal out of it. Use the thing that you can use, and go out and make cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty much the show. We had some cool, like, personal interactions with a bunch of people. I know we're going to probably miss a million of them and, like, forget names and stuff.
I've been, basically, my entire day has been kind of sorting through business cards because we have a literal, like, good maybe 4-inch stack of cards, a lot of which are just kind of middleware things, which I've been able to sort out in some regard. But we've been trying to track down the really good ones and started to send out some emails, which should continue on through the rest of the week.
Yeah, we owe more people correspondence. But yeah, we could still mention a couple of those, like,
and see, we want to start with, like, our play booth neighbors.
Yeah, sure. So I mean, like, probably the first game we tried there that wasn't ours was Dragon Maze, right?
Yeah, by Luis Garcia.
Yep, and he's from Mexico. He's, from talking to him, it seems like he's basically making that game by himself.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing, like, having
the
some of the
audio. I think
some
the
of the audio
is outsourced.
Yeah, some of the audio outsourced, and, like, he had a friend there at least helping with like day-to-day booth stuff.
I think he said he was in the mega booth. His friend was showing off something else, I think.
I must have missed that, but
I vaguely caught that during the setup. I don't remember exactly what. He was either, I think he was doing something in the mega booth, but like we said, we weren't there most of the time to actually check that out.
Yeah, but anyway, so his company is called Feline Arts, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and his game is called Dragon Maze.
It's adorable.
Yeah, I guess it just got greenlit really recently, so you can still...
literally, like, before the show, because he's like, I have all these flyers that say support on greenlight.
Right.
And it just got greenlit.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, you should go check that greenlight page out anyway, because it's got a decent trailer that kind of shows what the game is like.
On the Kickstarter page. I know for sure it's there.
Yeah, we put one up.
I put it up.
So you could go to our Kickstarter page, which wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah. It's never a bad thing to visit there.
Yep. But anyway, yeah, and it's really cool. Like Lorraine said, it's super cute. It's actually polygonal. Like, it's full 3D.
Oh, yeah.
It looks a lot like it's slightly less, slightly less fancy, because obviously it's just, like, one dude. But it reminds you of modern Nintendo, like, 3D games. Mm-hmm, like, the current,
definitely.
The recent Mario games and stuff like that. Like, it kind of feels like a...
It's very cartoony and
yeah,
cute.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a colorful. Super Mario 3D Land visually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's top down with very small bite-sized levels. And the main thing about the dragon... I don't know if he ever actually said the dragon's name. I don't remember.
God, he did tell us.
I don't remember.
Name escapes me.
I think it's a girl. I'm pretty sure it's a girl.
Yeah, we definitely were informed. But again, half of that week is a blur.
Her main ability is this kind of Sonic-esque spin dash... Which, I don't know if she... I don't think she can use to take out, like, enemies, because they always seem to hurt you anyway.
No, yeah, I don't think it's an attack.
But you can use it to, like, cross, like, just gaps, like, completely horizontally, or there were some spider webs at one point that you would stick to and then break them with a fully charged one.
Yeah, and, like, you shoot in a straight line, because it's kind of just that, and then you can walk around without pushing any buttons, and you kind of move really slowly, but, like, pretty delicately.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can hold...
I don't remember which one.
Yeah, the other button. Because he was showing it on Vita. So I believe it was circle to do the charge attack and maybe X to roll. Or...
That sounds close to right.
Anyway, the buttons, which buttons it was are irrelevant. The point is it was two button controls. Mm-hmm. The other button was used to basically do kind of a roll attack.
You would just...
Or not an attack,
a
but...
A charged roll. And then the other one was like, you just kind of hold it
You would
it down
become a ball and then you could kind of just roll in
kind
a direction.
It reminds me of something...
What's like reverse monkey ball almost? Like you just roll around, but you're not like tilting the environment to roll like in monkey ball. You just kind of like are going in the direction that you're holding it in. Maybe even like a little Metroid, like from Metroid Prime.
Maybe that's where you ball what I'm thinking up of, like and then... the morph ball. It's
yeah, it's
like
sort
that.
Of like that.
You've got some. I don't think you can stop. Maybe you can stop while you're moving. I don't think you have like continual momentum like you do with the spin.
In Metroid?
No,
in this. Yeah, you can stop. You can just let off and then you'll...
Yeah, so yeah, I think it is the morph ball I'm thinking of where you're just kind of like rolling.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, at least go check out the trailer for that. And quite honestly, that doesn't do it justice because even just like before we had played it, when I just took a glance at it, I was like, oh, that's super cute, but it also looks really simple. And it is like the perfect, like it's almost a textbook definition of a game that is simple but like engaging. Like, It gets really involved really quickly for just being like a two button game. Like he does a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah.
With that sort of the maneuverability options that are open to you like pretty soon as the game progresses, and it gets like fairly hard, fairly fast. But for me at least, that's in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought it might be like you play the first level or two and you're like, ah, oh, this is kind of easy. You just kind of roll it around. But it really gets to a point where it's like it becomes a really engaging platformer that just doesn't have to be happen to be exactly about like. Jumping from spot to spot.
And the amazing thing about that is he said he did all of those levels by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he modeled all. It was amazing. Like, he was telling us a little bit about his workflow, which sounded insane, but it makes sense because everything looks so good. From, like, just the environments to the characters, like, enemies and stuff, too. It was super cute. I'm excited. I want it on my Vita.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it seems really cool. Like... I don't recall if he said when he thought it would be out, like if he had a window. But,
I don't remember.
We'll keep an eye on it and probably update the general populace once it's released again, because I definitely want to play the full game once it's out.
I saw boss fights in the trailer. And I was
so it was really cool. Dragon Maze. Go check it out. What's next?
Across from him was Super Slam Dunk Touchdown by the people at Tipping Goat.
Mm-hmm. And we actually didn't see that, like... they were there the first day, but for some reason I feel like maybe we were just busier and they were busier at the same time. Like,
what do you mean?
Like Wednesday, the first day we were there, like I just feel like we didn't really touch base with those guys that day.
I don't, well, cause they got there a little later to set up, and I just don't think we talked to them then. And then we were just overwhelmed and they were overwhelmed, so we didn't really get a chance to just chat. We did later on. I think I went over there on Thursday when I was coming back from like a water bottle refill, and I was talking to, Lewis, because he was right over there talking with one of the guys, and we just kind of just started chatting, and they were all super nice. There's one guy programming that game, and it's awesome. It's a throwback to, like, old, like, 8-bit era-ish, like, sports games, but with some 3D physics in there.
Right, again, like, kind of the same, like, couch co-op thing, but specifically channeling, like, NES ice hockey and stuff sort of like that.
Because it's got, like, I'm trying to remember, there's, like, football players, basketball players, roller derby, hockey, basketball, and was there a six?
I don't remember.
I know they have plans for a baseball player, but he wasn't in there. And you're literally, you could pick from any of these. Anyone can pick, like, any one of them. It's not, like, a certain sport versus another team of that sport. But you've got, like, a soccer goal with a football goalpost and a basketball hoop as your end goal with a goalie down in front of the soccer park. And it's just, it's insane. You play with, like, footballs and bowling balls and maybe, like, a hockey puck and stuff. They all have their own unique properties based on that type of ball. And you're just scoring points.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of fun, and it's stupid in the right, like, it's stupid in a way that I respect. Yes. Like, I like games that are dumb in the way that that game is dumb. Not, like, not games that, like, have memes or, like, timely references that are dated, like,
it's just, it's minutes after they're uttered. Fun.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's silly and, like,
it doesn't
like, just
take itself too seriously,
yep.
But it really owns what it is and just runs with it.
Yeah.
There's a runner, I think. There might, or is it, maybe that's the back, maybe I'm getting the back.
Like, it's really goofy and funny without, like,
drawing
attention, like, hey, we're a wacky, stupid game. Like, it just kind of naturally pulls that off. And it's seems pretty fun to play, too. They had GameCube controllers running. Like I said, I'm assuming they had one or two of those adapters. I forgot to ask him about it.
No, but I did.
Oh, okay.
He got them. He said he got them off of Amazon. They're not the PlayAsia ones that we had gotten.
Okay.
But he got,
but they are another third party.
Yeah, I think he got, it might have either been the guy who did the Rewired plugin or somebody else or him specifically who made the plugin
to make that work.
It was, I talked with him about it and it was awesome.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Super cool.
But yeah, that was very neat that they basically had like a suite of GameCube controllers because they had six players there, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, 3-on-3. Yeah, it was really cool.
Crazy. They just literally launched their Greenlight page while we were at the show. It was maybe, it was that Thursday, I think, is when they had launched it. Like,
I'm assuming they'll be fine. They'll probably be greenlit in, like, minutes. Maybe they're greenlit already.
And then they also are in the middle of a Kickstarter as well, which ends, like, maybe a few days after us or something, like a week.
Something like that. And I think they're trucking along on that, too. Other stuff, right across from, well, not right across from us,
diagonal.
But also, yeah, kind of diagonally, was a game called Nebulous by Namazu Studios?
I think so.
I don't think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I didn't ask them how to say it, but
they actually had like three games.
Yeah, they had multiple things, and they were showing this game, Nebulous, both on
a regular PC,
on PS4, and
a PS4.
Yeah, they had a PS4 dev kit there, and on, like you said, on Oculus, and I think they're going to put it on Morpheus too. So just all that heads up display stuff. But it's basically like a 3D, like a 3D puzzle game where you're kind of like, God, what would I equate it to?
It's kind of like that, the Incredible Machine.
That's
game.
What I was gonna say, but a little more simple. Like,
yes.
Unless it gets like, I only played like 15 minutes of it.
From the trailer, it didn't look as insane as some of the stuff I've seen.
Yeah, because you didn't actually. I was gonna say the Incredible Machine in the sense that like you do move stuff around the environment, and then kind of like once
reset
you have a board set
then,
up, you like set things in motion to make basically like your little spaceman who's kind of
like a chain of events. Like,
who's kind of like he lives in like a little ball basically, and you have to set up like a sequence of stuff for him to like roll or bounce off of to get from point A to point B. So you like build out a board and you hit play and then you watch it go. And then you like, if it fails, you stop and you tweak it again. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's got like kind of mechanical constructs or stuff like that.
Yeah.
As far as like, if you're talking about the Incredible Machine reference,
it really seemed just like it was the only reason I said that was just because I know there's like a goal
still
reach in that game.
Yeah, no, that's still a very, that's an accurate, base description of
but
what that game
is. But I think
the
thing about that game is that you have to use what you're given. Like, there's just pieces just kind of flung around. You can, I think you can rotate that, some of them maybe. I didn't try it. You did.
I didn't try rotating anything. I'm not sure if you could or not.
I thought I maybe saw that in a trailer.
Yeah, or maybe like later on there's a specific kind of item you can rotate. Yeah, like I said, I only played the first couple levels, but it seemed like a fun thing. Mm-hmm. Again, that's another, like, any game that's not that's not action-oriented, like anything where you have to kind of use your brain, none of those games I feel like demo well in like a, here, take this controller and play right now for like 15 minutes and then go do something else. Like, all that stuff kind of like you want it to gestate a little more and like really get a feel for how it works. But it did seem interesting from like the little chunk I played of it. So that's probably real cool.
One of the other things, neither of us got a chance to stop by and see their other two things, which I think they were demoing and weren't just showing off on the reel.
Yeah, they were. And honestly, I even forget what they were because we didn't get to try them.
The one I remember was Vitamin Z.
Okay.
Which was like kind of just like a, you're in like a central turret and these like waves of enemies are coming at you with their like crazy mutated fruits and vegetables. I just remember seeing this terrifying watermelon with just a giant mouth on it rolling around, which was nightmarish. And I can't remember the name of the last one. But it was kind of like a, almost like a rail-oriented racer. Kind of like, it was almost like F-Zero looking, but on, like, there was like a set of rails, and there's some obstacles that would pop up, but you were just trying to go forward, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but that it just escapes me. But it looked neat. All three of them were 3D games, and... They were really nice. You helped them.
Yeah, once the show closed out, they had just enough things that all of their arms couldn't carry, so I helped them take a little bit of stuff to out of the show. That was good. Yeah, good stuff. Because I think that's pretty much all we played, right? Like,
well,
as far as games we tried out.
The last booth, I wish I could, like, there was, remember the guy next to us? He was an older gentleman. I think his name was Steve, maybe.
Garden Quest or
something?
Yeah,
it was some kind of gardening.
The gardening game.
I can't remember exactly. He had a pretty elaborate setup.
Mm-hmm.
And he was super nice.
Yeah, he seemed like a really cool dude. I bet his game was neat, too. It just honestly was like, it couldn't have been a thing that's more outside of my wheelhouse. Like, it seemed like a very methodical, like, PC, like, sim-ish game, and that's just not the kind of thing that I usually play. But it looked like just kind of glancing over and watching other people try it for a minute or two at a time. Yeah, like it looked like a pretty well-made thing for what it was. Mm-hmm. Just not necessarily the kind of game that I usually put too much time into.
And then the other one that was in our aisle of six was Other Oceans had, Rad Boarding, which was this kind of like, it was a mobile game, which they actually released like, Friday morning, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's when I actually got to talk with him. Because they were kind of... It was kind of the same with Tipping Goat. They weren't really there when we were setting up. And then we just didn't get a chance to talk to them once the show started.
Yeah.
And Friday started off really slow anyway, because it was the last day.
Yeah.
But it was kind of... It was a 3D game, but on a 2D plane, where you're just kind of like... going down the slope, trying to rack up points. Mm-hmm. And
I say, do you know, was it basically an endless runner? Could you tell?
I'm not 100% sure. Okay. I don't remember if I saw there was, like, an end goal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not positive that I even actually saw gameplay of that game, because it looked like they had
the
trailers. No, they were doing it. I'm saying, I mean, personally.
No, there was, like, I mean, there was gameplay in the trailers. And I watched that trailer enough times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool looking. Like, it, It really reminded me of that one game we saw at PAX East with the dragon. That was on PS4. I don't remember what the name was.
Oh, you mean Indiecade?
Indiecade
East.
That's what it was.
I'm
dead. do you just remember seeing that? It was just kind of like riding on like.
Yeah. Slow. God damn it! Why can't I remember the name of that game either? Is an endless runner. Oh, well.
Yeah. But it was just kind of similar. Like, you're, like, going down these slopes and doing, like, tricks and stuff and just, like, racking up points. And I guess there's a giant bear boss with, like, an eye patch. But it was cool. He was a nice guy. I only got to talk to him that last day. But, like I said, they literally, like, launched it while we were still there. Which kind of seems nightmarish. But good for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that they just put out iDarb, too. Like, that's from them. So I don't know how that Like, if they're, I actually don't know too much about the other Ocean's background, if they are, like, a publishing thing, because
No. They're made up from people from different companies.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense, because I know that iDarb is, like, a game that's basically just made by Mike Mica, like, a single dude, for the most part.
Crap.
Don't worry about it. Not important relative to that game.
I know I told you. There are people from, like, two different studios, like, big, decently sized studios.
Sure.
And they're using some of their, like, some of their engine stuff, but he was saying they're switching to Unity just because, like, it's just easier than, like, their custom engine.
Yeah, cool stuff. And again, that's kind of about the show for us. Like, I got onto the...
That was what we got to see.
Yeah, I got onto the main show floor, like, literally one time, just to kind of go talk to the Sony dudes, and, like, we summed that up last time, so I'm not going to talk about it again, but that was a good experience, and, yeah, it was just standing in that space, talking to as many people as we could.
All those trailers.
Again and again. Mm-hmm. After the show, like, it wrapped up pretty well. Like, things got a little slow, at the end of Friday, but, like, we were kind of out of it at that point
anyway. Was basically dead.
Yeah, it got slow, in the last hour or two, it slowed down considerably, but I don't know how much better we would have done if there had been a bunch of people around anyway, so it was probably for
you
the best.
You could tell everyone, because, like, a few people, like, were there all the time, like, the, like, Lewis from Feline Arts, Steve from the Gardening Game, the one guy, Mark from Other Ocean, who I talked to, was there almost the entire time. He had some other people helping him out. I think most of the Namazu people were there for almost the entire time. And
yeah, they definitely were. Mm-hmm. Like, the vast majority of the time, at least.
And then I know Tipping Goat, it was him and, like, his wife who was the artist, I think. And they had a handful of other people helping them, too. But they were there, like, almost the entire time as well.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy I talked to, I think David or something like that, he had asked me to help out, and I was like, sure. Because, like, with the GDC play booths, you get, like, X amount of just expo passes, and you can get, like, help and stuff. They're all really nice. It had really cool games, too. It's fun.
Yep. And that was about it. Like I said, wrapped up, kind of, like, packed everything up. Like, kind of lugged everything back to the hotel, and then, like, kind of had to redistribute all our demo setup and stuff, because I carried most of the, like, sensitive materials on my person. Like, I had, like, the actual PCs and, like, controllers and stuff, like, in a backpack that I just took, like, carry-on style on the plane. But then all the other, like, gear, like, the posters and the stands and all that crap, we just, like, shoved in a suitcase, and then
we only lost one extremely cheap poster frame.
Yeah, nothing else
on the way back.
Yeah, nothing else got damaged, and that poster frame cost us about, like, $8 or something, so
I think it was less than that. I feel like it was more like $6.
Yeah, it was not necessarily built for...
It was built for that purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
It was throw it away after the end of the trip.
It was not made to be chucked around.
Stand the test of time.
In a bag at the airport, so...
It was the only thing damaged, though.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
None of our equipment, none of the portable stand thing. Which is super great.
Yep. Yeah, that was it. So pretty successful trip overall. There'll probably be, like, maybe some tiny updates about, like, other stuff we kind of had in process there in the coming weeks. We'll see. But that was a lot of fun, and it was good to, like, kind of get our first real industry event out of the way, because other stuff has been, like, more local and not really game-focused. So this was the opposite of both of those things.
Yay!
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Across the country and completely game focused.
I'm looking forward to getting back to making games.
Definitely. Oh, I'm.
You don't make games when you're showing games. Like, we've done, like, little bug fixes and stuff on the fly, but, like, I can't wait to spend, like, a couple more afternoons and evenings, like, actually working on stuff and, like, designing more stuff out as opposed to just, like, the logistics crap.
I mean, we really haven't had serious development time since, like, December. Maybe January, but
no, like, mostly through January, but I know what you mean.
It hasn't
been exactly the same because it's all split between, like, organizing, like, making sure we got all the details for each of these shows and, like, doing all the Kickstarter crap up front.
That's what I was getting at. Like, we've had so many other things
Right
coming in our faces since, like, mid-January, basically.
Yeah, it's been busy.
It's been businessy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to get back on the development train.
Yeah, for sure.
Got ideas now.
Those are the problems. Having two folks.
Yep.
Said business analysts, CFO, coffee boy. It's me. And my job titles. That's what I do.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much it for DDC stuff. So hopefully we'll have other cool new game convention adventures this year. Time will tell. We shall see. We're just talking to the other guys about probably going to Gen Con again for funsies.
Yep.
I doubt we'll be there in any official capacity, but there are games there.
Yeah.
Most of them not digital, but it's still pretty fun.
Yep. It's still, I think, the biggest game, like, board and trading card game
convention
in the entire country.
If you want,
country.
Like, tabletop stuff, there's nothing bigger as far as I know.
Indianapolis. It's a nice city, too. Like, it's really... It's nothing close to San Francisco size, but it's like, it's probably equatable to like a nicer Detroit.
Yeah, and
was nicer.
It's been getting nicer, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had been there in some of the first years of Gen Con, like,
true.
It wasn't shitty, but it wasn't as nice as it is now. That stuff's all being built up, like, in the main city proper. And yeah, it's a cool
nice.
Place to hang out. Nothing
it's
wrong with
city.
Indianapolis.
Stuff going on.
So we'll be there, probably.
Yay.
Yep. And then other than that, I mean, it's just Kickstarter stuff still. So, like, we kind of have to marathon through, finish the campaign, which is, like, 10 days or something left. Like
12, I think.
Is it 12 today?
13. It's the 10th, yes, so it's 12.
You're right.
Technically, 12, more like 11.
Yeah, I should know that, but, again, everything's such a blur. Yep.
Birthday.
Mm-hmm. So we're still trucking along on that, still doing what we can, trying to get the word out, sending emails and stuff. We'll see what happens either way. We're still hopeful, like, never give up until until everything's been called, but either way, we're going to keep trucking along no matter what.
Do you want to at least say, like, because I don't think I know we talked about it a lot at GDC, and just kind of in some of the interview stuff we've done recently, but do you want to talk about, like, the backup plan? Like, what happens if we don't get kickstarted? Because I don't think we've really...
Nope.
Said much.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're a jerk.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like we should at least kind of say something.
Well, I mean, I'm not worried about details right now. We'll talk about that
once
we're done. Like,
but...
just know that we're not throwing in the towel on game stuff if this doesn't work out.
This does not mean the end of these games.
Yeah.
There'll be some restructuring,
mm-hmm.
basically, like, when things are getting released.
Yeah, and
if you
like,
look at the Kickstarter page, you can maybe kind of see
sure.
what the details of that entail.
Yeah, and, like, quite honestly, we're not positive what we're going to do yet, but we have a couple other, like, we have backup plans,
yes.
plural, in mind. So we'll see what happens.
Super Cucumber and Down the Drain will not be dead if a normal Cubicorn
games. I will die before these games. If these games don't come out, it's because I was killed. That is what happened.
And I was too grief-stricken to go on.
So, that's all you need to know.
Yes. Well, I think that's at least more than we have said. We haven't actually touched
right.
on.
Right, yeah. I'll say that much. And
yes.
then, like I said, once we have, like, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, obviously, if we make it... even better.
Yeah.
And then if not, we'll be okay. We're figuring stuff out.
We'll still be, even if we don't make it and you don't, and any of you listening don't give us your money, we're still super appreciative. Like, it feels really great to know.
Yeah, everybody who's still, like, donated and shared and stuff, every time somebody likes one of the posts or just, like, checks a thing out, like, it's been super awesome. Either way.
We're eternally grateful, even if this falls through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're all great.
Yeah, so thanks everybody for checking stuff out. Thanks for donating. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for
being
listening
awesome.
To us say stupid crap.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you still, like, there's still time to share,
yeah.
donate if you want to. Again, that's just, like, the door's open.
Our
but...
birthdays are right around the end of the campaign.
Yes, it ends between my and Lorraine's birthdays. Like, on my birthday, I guess on your birthday, it technically ends because it runs through like 3 a.m.
But we're also accounting for West Coast
right, yeah.
peoples.
Mm-hmm. Our birthdays are a day apart for the uninitiated.
Well, not like they're sequential days.
Oh, they are. Yeah, that's more accurate. They're sequential.
Apart.
So mine's the 21st of March, yours is the 22nd.
Yep.
So,
weird, isn't it?
So give the gift of. Giving us your money, if you feel so
it's
inclined.
More of a gift to yourself.
That's right.
Because then you're getting these.
You will
games.
Get these fabulous products.
You're giving us.
If
giving
the price
us the
is right,
to get let us give you a present.
Showcase Showdown.
Ba-na-da-da.
Nope, stop.
That's
it. We'll get sued.
That's less than 30 seconds.
Okay, all right. We don't own that. Yeah, we are not the Giant Bomb guys. We don't have CBS properties in our. I can't afford to be paying for. Anyway,
we should have got that one soundboard.
I guess so.
Dang it. Rats.
Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna keep doing that. We still have more. Have more local demos in the next couple days. We're doing.
We've got Gamers Ave.
And is it Dearborn Heights? Is that technically the city that it's in? Go look on the Kickstarter page. It's got an address. Gamers Ave, I think, in Dearborn Heights. It's a cool little game store. Like, this place actually sells video games.
Yeah,
so, like, before we've been at, like, card shops and stuff. So if you like weird old video games or, like, kind of obscure stuff, they have a bunch of cool things like that there.
They have a lot of stuff. They also have, like, a pretty decent, like, LAN.
Yeah, area. They have a bunch of PCs. So if that's a thing you're into, you could do that there as well. We're going to be there Friday from, I think, like, 5-ish until, like, things cool down or just, like, we get bored. But for a couple hours at least. And then the day after, so that would be this Friday and this Saturday. The day after, we're going to be at Destiny Games in Canton, Michigan. And that's, just another cool, game store. They sell a bunch of cool old stuff. They sell a bunch of, like, weird peripherals.
It's from Atari era.
They even sell a handful of, like, board game and card game stuff. So they have a little bit of everything there. It's another really cool store. We've been there a couple times on and off, like, over the years, and it's really fun every time to just, like, duck in there and see what they got going on.
Okay. Gamers Ave is in Garden City.
Garden City. My bad.
And Destiny is in Canton.
Yep. So check those out. We'll be there if you want to hang out with us.
We have, it says on here,
the times that I half made up.
Gamers Ave is 4 to 9.
Okay. That's fine.
Destiny is 11 to 7, which is probably not the entire, we're not going to be there that entire time. I can guarantee you that.
We'll see. There's a party. Things are popping off.
If things are crazy, then yes, we will be there.
We'll definitely be there from 11 for quite a while.
Yes.
I would guess the earliest we would duck out of there is probably like 3 or 4. Probably like 4 o'clock at the earliest. Then we'll see what happens.
That's like a shift.
Right.
I didn't like working that shift.
Aww.
It's long.
So yeah, that's it. So we're still doing Kickstarter stuff. Yeah. We'll still be posting. We'll probably post an update on there tonight with just like some other coverage stuff. I still want to do a couple more posts about like design stuff that I haven't had the chance to churn out. Maybe I'll do one of those tomorrow. Might do another thing on some of the art or something. Like, we're still doing what we can. So if nothing else, it'll serve as a kind of like a collection of our very early like ideas and work.
Yeah. Did you still want to do just general shout outs?
Yeah, DC? Sure. Say we got like what, one or two more maybe?
We got a handful of people who did not have booths.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, let's do that and then wrap this thing up.
Sounds good. First person, Molly Hattie Carroll.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. That was like basically like stars aligning.
I think she might be my spirit animal.
Maybe.
I'm just
saying. She was really cool. She's from the Netherlands, right? I don't think it was Holland. I'm pretty sure it was the Netherlands.
Oh God, I felt like it was Holland. So
maybe I'm wrong.
One of us apologizes.
Really sorry. You talked to her more than me, so that's more on you than it is on me. I don't remember what I was doing. I might have been eating lunch.
Anyway, she was super nice and super cool.
She's part of a 2-person team with, I think, someone named Eric, I think she mentioned.
I forget his name, but yes, he wasn't at the show, unfortunately.
Because they're from Europe.
Right.
But, she was super cool. Mm-hmm. She was really great to talk to.
And they're basically attempting to do kind of the same thing we are.
Like, they've got a few things out already, I think.
Yeah, yeah. She said they did like Flash game stuff and maybe one or two other things.
I checked out their website a little bit today while I was putting together a list, and they've got like 3 things on there.
Yeah.
Their Facebook page, the company's Arcane Circus.
Good. Yep.
Is that,
so go like that.
Yeah. Follow them on Twitter. I didn't both.
Good. Did you for like the Cubicorn account too?
I think I only did on the Cubicorn account.
Okay.
Remind
me to do it on the ours too. But that stuff all blurs together.
But I liked their Facebook page.
Good. Yeah. Very cool.
Super cool.
It's just like one of those things. Like sometimes you like meet a person who just has like similar sensibilities to you, and in this case they're like even going for like trying to do a similar kind of thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just a fun like
That's she basically, it was like, heartwarming it was, moment. It was weird, because it was like, she had like the same kind, she felt like someone we've known for forever, just, she had like the same kind of attitude and mindset about all this, and, which I see, which seems to happen to people, other people in like two-person studio.
If you're, I mean, you're,
so maybe by, you're a certain brand of
crazy. Yeah, there's just like,
that, and
you're in a similar situation by default, like, regardless of what thing you're making, or how long you've been working on it, or how deep you are, or whatever.
I think it maybe just takes a certain kind of person to make a two-person game studio.
Very special brand of idiot.
Uh-huh. Another example of that, not idiots, but Amish Patel and Derek Canfield of Hightail Studios.
Yep.
Who we got to talk to.
And I met them.
You at the Nintendo.
Originally, yeah, at that Nintendo developer meetup. And
they
then,
were
like,
really cool. And they're making a game called Acorn Assault, which is a top-down, like, I'm pretty sure it was a real-time-ish strategy game.
No, it's turn-based.
It is turn-based?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's turn-based. And it's kind of like, it's not really like Fire Emblem or something where you move units around a board.
That's what I thought it was at first.
It's like you kind of, you place units down and then basically like continually populate.
It reminded me game of board. That city game that we saw at that puzzle
game.
Oh
right, the like SimCity Lite thing.
Yeah.
That was like, it was like SimCity plus Match 3. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
They just like the way that things combined and stuff, and you're just like hard placing them down, which I thought was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's using squirrels based in the French Revolution.
Yep. Yeah. Premise wise,
hysterical.
Premise wise, it's pretty great and pretty funny, and we still haven't played it yet, but by the end of this weekend, I will have tried out their demo.
Yes.
It's just like we're still doing cleanup, but well, we'll report back.
It was cool. Like,
we'll report back with more
demo.
Details once we've actually tried it, because they showed us a video and like I watched a little more footage online, but I still haven't like booted up yet because stuff.
And again, two-person team.
Yeah,
they seemed kind of very extremely similar to us. We also, one of our meetings was with the team from Glitchbit.
Yes.
Which is based in Ohio.
That was the last thing that I was going to...
I have one more person that I had talked to personally after that. I don't remember the main guy's name. The guy who had, like, that flip book who was showing
I want to say Dan something or other. Because
I don't
but
think I got
his
I've
card. Still been so shitty with names, so I apologize. I apologize
The name
completely.
I have down here is Adam Piffer.
Yeah, because he even sent me an email, and I haven't quite responded to him yet.
I talked with him and his wife. He's an amazing illustrator. Oh, my gosh. She was showing me. His wife has nothing to... I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I feel terrible, but she has nothing... She was just kind of along for the ride while they were there, but she was, like, showing off the sketchbook. He does amazing, like, hand-drawn stuff and watercolors, and it was incredible looking through there. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted to, they made a meeting with us because we were from Michigan. They're like, more Midwest people, let's do this.
Yep. So yeah,
hang out.
Shout out to all those guys again. Sorry about like names and stuff. I think it's because there was multiple people. Like, I'm bad with names anyway, even meeting like a single person, but then when there's like a group, like I just get flummoxed until I've like touch base with them like 5 or 6 times, and then eventually I figured it out. But yeah, they were super cool, and we'll probably like be involved with them in some capacity in the future when it comes to trying to organize like semi-local stuff just in like the Midwest area. So we'll see
and
what happens with that.
On that, the Midwest area stuff, I would love to shout out to one Tiffany Trutman.
Oh, I remember now. Yeah,
she's from Wisconsin, and she just came over. She's like, "Oh, I saw you were from Michigan," and we were just chatting. And I had never heard of it, but she works with Big John Games, I think is what it's called.
I'm almost positive I've heard that name, but I couldn't tell you what they make.
I think it's mainly mobile. She's an artist. She does, I think, some environmental 3D stuff and some 2D stuff. But
I remember you telling me all this because I caught like chunks of your conversation.
Because you were demoing stuff, and then she came up to the side of the booth and was talking to me.
Yeah.
Individually. But we had talked a lot about her. She wants us to make some small side stuff, so we were talking about getting into Unity, because she's never really done any programming, and I mentioned, like, the Humble Widget, which is a great resource of just kind of getting stuff out, not worrying about Steam. And she had mentioned some kind of Midwest Game Developers Conference, but she didn't know the name. She thought it was like in June or something, and it might be in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's
itself.
Like June, July. I still don't, man. I mean, I'm not going to go into any details about how weird some of this stuff is, but I looked that up, like, trying to see if there were details this year, and it literally, like, the link to their site leads to, like, a expired Squarespace page or some shit. It's like, you didn't re-up this, so there's nothing here right now.
Oh, really?
So, god damn it. But whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. We'll see if something
really
like
nice.
that happens anyway.
I actually emailed her today. She was one of the people I emailed.
Right on.
I actually spelled her email address wrong the first time.
Oh, did you email someone else?
No, it just bounced back.
Okay.
It was a Gmail account. I missed an N in her
okay.
last name.
All right. Well, that's good.
It was just like, this isn't real. And I'm like, crap. And then I looked.
That's good, because otherwise, if it had been, you just wouldn't have known. Like,
yeah.
If you had sent it to somebody randomly, they probably wouldn't have said, hey, I'm not who this is.
Yeah. But she was really nice. We talked for a while, and I'd love to chat with her some more. And we met a lot of people from Wisconsin, my land. Mm-hmm. There were so many.
Yeah, well, and that one thing specifically at the Midwest meetup thing, most of them were from the same, like, school, right?
I think she had something to do with that school, too, because she had mentioned, she's like, one of our professors is
yeah,
in, like, his class.
Got
like,
some people
oh,
to come out.
Oh, I met a lot of those guys yesterday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one guy from, again, I forget his name too, but from Raven Studios, they're also out there. They make first-person shooters and stuff. Nowadays, they work on Call of Duty.
Yeah, I was the one who talked with him.
Yeah, good stuff. Anybody else? Like, anything? Again, like, millions of other people that we have failed to mention because we suck, but...
So many emails.
Thank you to everyone, every single person who we talked to and, like, hung out with for a little bit. It was all awesome.
Yes.
That's all I can say is thank you for sharing some of your time with us. Like, it was super fun. You made it a trip worth taking.
Definitely. We had a lot of fun, as exhausting as it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good times. And I think that's gonna do it, unless you got anything else you wanna close out with.
I'm tired.
Yeah, me too.
I'm always tired.
It feels that way. These days. So yeah, we're going to continue to be tired. Like I said, we're trucking along through the end of that Kickstarter campaign. So if you want to check it out, please do share, donate if you wish. If you've already done either of those, you still have our profound gratitude.
Yes.
And then sort of like, I guess 2 weeks from now, a little tiny bit less than that, we'll know how things shook out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thank you guys for checking out that stuff. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for listening to the show before this.
If you did.
Or not, whatever.
It's really, it's like I had mentioned to Dustin after we actually ended recording, it was just like, the more tired we are, the more off the
rails. I'm going to say that show contains the best conversation about the Microsoft Kin in a podcast in 2015. That's the award that I'm giving us on myself. I'm going to go buy a bowling trophy and then like scratch that into it.
You just get those engraved. Those don't.
Okay, sure. Yeah, excellence in discussing Microsoft products that failed. That's
if you're
me.
Interested in consumer electronics, check that out, because it's all over the place. We talk about some video games.
That's, anyway, yeah.
It's nuts.
Go back and listen to that if you haven't. That's going to do it.
It's your life.
We'll be back in the not-too-distant future with other cool stuff.
We're going to, we'll mention again, we're going to be streaming something on Sunday.
Yeah, listen to the end of that other show for details, and then, like, look at our website, because I'll totally probably post a thing on there, even though it's not directly related to the games.
Cool.
It's related to games.
Yes.
So,
weird as it may be.
Listen to the end of that other show, check cubehorngames.com,
Twitter.
Go on iTunes if you want to subscribe to this bullshit.
It's a good time.
And we'll be back with more stuff in the future.
Woohoo!
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.